much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay. I've been waiting for this moment for months, and it's finally here. Yeah!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
What the f***?
A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain.
That boy gayed in a handbag full of rainbows.
You know, he's a brother. With most brothers, you know how he is. He got a stroke.
Black is not a color.
Tell that to black people.
I don't know any.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Penis hungry hooker with a huge vagina.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
I love that story. Don't you love that story?
Roll another one.
Yes, yes, oh God,
just
yes.
Like the other one.
Yes.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Who is luckier than me?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Let's shine. That's not how people should behave.
Roll.
Roll.
Another one.
Kevin, lay out the sauce, man.
Nope. Just like the other one.
Good morning, binge drinkers.
This one seems to be about to end.
Peanut butter jelly time!
I don't have another cent.
Our marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
But don't bogart that joint.
Well, nobody knew what it meant, but it was funny.
Just pass it around.
I am rigid.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Too bootylicious.
And now...
You're looking fantastic, sir.
Well, thank you very much, man. It means the world coming from you.
Our feature presentation.
Liquor! Liquor! Liquor!
What do you say? Lakers?
Guys excited.
Big Sam Lakers.
Morning, everybody. Brand new
Laker tickets are not about to get any cheaper.
No, they're not. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday morning. What's happening?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
They're fine.
After all the conversations that we've had lately about homeless people, and we had Kevin's guy in to talk about the crazy amounts of money that a lot of these homeless people make, what did you do yesterday when you saw the woman out there with the dog?
Well, I didn't give her money because we talked to the guy, and I didn't believe her. But there was a woman out on the corner with the dog, and she was just very nice, nice sunglasses, just standing out there smoking a cigarette, little tank top, you know what I'm saying?
Right, sure.
And the person in front of me gave her, wads of money.
Really?
Yes.
See, that's what I think happens. They get like 20, 25 bucks from people.
Easy.
And it adds up quick.
And her sign said, my car broke down. Could I just have a little help?
There's a dude at the off-ramp by where I live, and he's got better shoes than me. you know what? He's got better shoes than me.
I wonder if her car really did break down.
I don't know.
I wish there was a gun you could point that was a truth teller.
I would guess not.
She looked super comfortable there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously if your car breaks down, you're not going to be all dirty and homeless. It just means your car broke down. But she just didn't seem to have a care in the world.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Completely.
You should pull over and say, if you tell me the real deal, if you give me the truth, I'll give you $10.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
Just because it would, at least it put your mind at ease.
Where's your car? Let's go see your car.
Nice.
Maybe I can help. I can fix a car. Well, let's go to, hard to believe, Florida for this morning's story. This is unbelievable. This is William Jenkins, 22 years old, arrested on felony domestic battery charges against his mom, against his own mother.
Oh.
He pushed her to the floor. She's 53 years old. He's arrested by Palmetto Police Department there. When questioned by the cops, Jenkins denied pushing his mother, but admitted that he did rub dog poop on her face because she yelled at him.
Oh, my God. Really?
Are there any circumstances under which, no matter how much of a fight you get into with your mom, you're going to rub dog poop on her face?
No, what kind of person would even think of that?
That's worse than pushing her down.
Well, apparently, what happened
was... He
was
pushing her down because she wet the floor. That's why.
He's rubbing her nose in it.
No, you don't do this. No.
What happened is, from reading the police report, I see that she had ordered him to clean up after the dog who had pooped in the back, actually on the porch, not even in the backyard, but on the porch in their house. And he said, I'll do it if you give me a shot of vodka. And she said, no, you have to clean up first. And he's like, I'm not going to clean up unless you give me the vodka. And she said, no. So he pushed her to the ground and ran outside and scooped up the dog poop with his hand and then came back in and smeared it on mom's face.
Well, she'll never ask him to do that again. And that was really the goal, I'm
gonna
sure.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say not cool.
Totally not cool, right?
Wow.
He's being held in the Manatee County Jail. Bond has not yet been set. But that, I mean, look, most of the stories of crazy arrests that we do on this show are alcohol related. And I'm sure this wasn't the only shot of vodka he was having that day.
And almost all of them are from Florida.
That's true.
It's weird.
Craziest state in the union, by far.
Really is.
Yeah. But I've, in all the years we've been doing this program, I've never seen particulars like this one in this story.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't know. I don't think that's advisable, the whole rubbing the poop thing.
Ick.
That's,
don't need it either, by the way.
I'm thumbs down on that one.
I'm with you.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I feel sad.
Oh, Honey Boo Boo?
Honey Boo Boo.
Is that who that is?
Yes, Honey Boo Boo Child is sad.
We don't want that. But we don't have time to talk about Honey Boo Boo today.
We have to wait?
It's the saddest television show I've ever seen in my life, though.
Oh, no, really?
It's the saddest television show
like
I've ever
freak,
seen in my life.
Crazy freak funny?
Oh, no, it's all of that, too.
Oh, but just sad.
Yeah.
Funny man Brad Williams on the program today.
Great.
Yeah.
One of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
We have John Sherva, who is talking to us from London about the Olympics, which, by the way, wrap up Sunday night.
Thank God, by the way, because they're down to rhythmic gymnastics on my TV.
Yeah,
have you seen that?
I'm not sure. I saw them doing gymnastics with a ball.
Yes. I think that's rhythmic gymnastics.
And I saw them doing it with the little pole with
the ribbon
on mm-hmm. it.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's not a sport at all, right?
No, it's absurd. About half of what's in the Olympics is absurd.
Yet again, I remind you, no baseball.
That's correct, yeah. So we're going to talk to him for one final time to give us a big recap and tell us what to look forward to on Sunday night. We also have Mike Coots on the program today. He's going to come into the studio, and Shark Week kicks off on Sunday night with his story.
Oh, Shark Week's the best.
And his, not for him. And his story is that he got attacked by a shark, and the shark got his leg. So he's got one leg. So that's happening.
And he's coming into the studio?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm so glad I'm
Can
not there
we
in
trust
person.
Bean?
Yeah, he's gonna hop in.
You know how I feel about the handicap.
I do know, and I hope you just keep that to yourself if you don't mind.
He suffered enough, you think?
Yeah. We have Matt Money Smith talking mm-hmm. about the Los Angeles Lakers and how on earth they pulled off the Dwight Howard trade without getting rid of Pau Gasol.
Now, this will be the third or fourth time we've had Matt Money Smith on to tell us that this trade was happening, but this time it really looks like today is the day once the NBA owners meet.
Yeah,
looks like today it actually will happen.
There's supposed to be a conference call with the four general managers. It's just a formality. If they all agree, done. And that's what kind of voodoo magic are the Lakers using? I don't understand.
I don't know.
When we got Pau Gasol, everybody was like, how do you pull that one off? That seems like it's not fair for other teams. But I'm fine with that. So we're going to talk to him about that. We have Randy Blythe on the show today. He is the lead singer of Lamb of God. And he's been in prison in Prague for a month.
Why?
Well, I think they were charging him with murder, if I'm not correct, Bean. Correct me if I'm wrong. But
it's murder. If it's not actually first-degree premeditated, it's some sort of, they're implicating him in the death of a fan at a Lamb of God concert, right?
Yeah, and I think he tossed him off the stage, and the guy hit the ground.
Hit his head, yeah.
But he's been locked up in Prague for a month.
Wow.
How weird is that?
But I don't think, I mean, we'll talk to him about it. We'll find out. But I don't think being in the Czech Republic is like being in, you know, one of these countries that you never get out of. It's not North Korea. You know what I mean? I mean, I think right. it's a reasonable, regular country, right, where they have laws and police and things like that.
I believe that.
So. I mean, I still don't want to be the guy who's in jail in Prague.
No,
but,
Prague prison is not where I want
to
be.
No, but what a story to tell. I'm eager to find out more.
Tyler Labine will be in the studio talking about animal practice.
Oh, yeah.
We have the movie beat, and we have your tickets for the Honda Civic Tour, which we're going to give you in about a half hour.
Okay.
So that's all coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Usually it sucks to have to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but today you're lucky because that's when we're giving away tickets to go see Linkin Park and Incubus together at the Home Depot Center on September the 8th. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. You have to be on hold for a few minutes, but we're going to be playing a game for you right after the top of the hour. And then you're qualified, of course, for the grand prize drawing we do later this morning to send you to see the same acts in San Francisco. Call now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ralph.
Hey.
What's up?
Congratulations as we kick off the NFL season to Jay Cutler, Chicago Bears quarterback, and his baby mama, Kristen Cavallari. They had a bouncing baby boy last Wednesday. Mom tweeted the good news. His name? Camden.
Camden.
Camden Jack Cutler.
Camden oh. Jack. Arr. I'm Camden Jack. I've got rum in me, hearties, yo.
Everything's great. Little guys, 7 pounds, 9 ounces. Everybody's doing well, so congratulations to
Does Camden mean anything? I mean, I'm only familiar with it from the ballpark in Baltimore, but does it have a meaning or
Camden
something?
Camden is a huge industrial port city in New Jersey as well. It's right across the river from Philadelphia, Camden, New Jersey. That's what I always think of when I hear Camden.
That's sexy.
That's all I know about Camden. Except now he's a little kid, and his dad's Jay Cutler. Sad news. I don't know if you watched that show Paranormal State over on A&E, but Ryan Buell, one of the hosts of that show, he's a paranormal investigator. It's been announced that he is suffering from pancreatic cancer. That is a bad one. He's just 30 years old, and he announced he's got the fight of his life on his hands, but he's not giving up.
Is that one of the kinds that's really tough to beat?
Yeah, it really is. Sadly, it spreads quickly, and it's really hard to kick. But
that's too bad.
Everybody wishes him the best. And Taylor Swift is a rapist, so that's good news.
What? No.
Oh yeah. No. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Whoa.
New York Post reports.
Explain, please.
That she started dating this Connor Kennedy when he was just 17 years old. But the Kennedy family insisted that they wait until he became of voting age to make their debut as a couple. So they kept it under wraps until he turned 18, and that's why this story is just coming out now.
Oh.
But sources are saying they've been together from some time when she was 22 and he was 17. Which, of course, makes her a statutory rapist. Which means
if they had sex,
which means she should go to jail immediately with no possibility of parole.
Or a trial.
No trial?
No trial. And certainly no guitar, more importantly. That's what we want to keep her from performing live in any way we can. So I think we have to give her one of those shock collars. So if she tries to sing, it just keeps her shut up.
I sort of have a boner.
And let's not forget the victim, by the way. Imagine how terrible it is if you're a 17-year-old guy and a hot 22-year-old chick wants to have sex with you. It ruins your whole life.
So Bean's in favor of it. Bean's in favor of statutory rape. Now it becomes clear. At least now we know where you stand. It's good to have that on the record.
I appreciate
it.
Sometimes.
It's good to know.
It's not
when
the worst
authorities show
thing in the world
up,
for
I'm
the
sure
guy.
Those are some of the questions they're going to be asking.
And we're going to say, yeah, we heard him say it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's in favor of it. He goes to meetings.
Goes to meetings.
And Curry from the Today Show says part of the reason she was fired from the Today Show is because the producers hated her hair and clothing.
Really?
Interesting. Certainly, image plays a large role in television. No more so anywhere than on daytime television, especially the morning shows. It's hard to be a woman, in news particularly. She says her bosses were very clear about how unhappy they were with her on-camera look. One day I wore a multicolored dress, she says in the interview, and someone asked if I was trying to be Toucan Sam, who of course is the Fruit Loops mascot.
Sure.
I chose it because I thought this will perk up America.
Really? She was going to perk up America?
With her dress, yes. Or make our eyes bleed. They forced her to wear ridiculously high-heeled shoes, she says, because women say, I love your shoes. So if it makes women happy, I decided to wear them. But I'm still going to me. I tried to wear clogs and flats on TV, but that hasn't gone over well with the bosses.
So they wanted her to whore it up, and they said, look, you're here to attract an audience, and we know that these things work. We've been doing morning television a long time.
She wouldn't get plastic surgery or filler for her wrinkles. She says, my wrinkles connect me to my family, to my ancestors, and to my future, and I won't dye my hair. I've got gray hair because I won't dye it.
Well, you're asking to be kicked off TV.
Yeah, I don't want to change the fundamental parts of me because it means changing who I am, she says.
This is a visual medium.
I
thought it was because she wasn't very good.
Well, sure, there's that, Lisa. No. But if she'd been hot, they would have kept her.
Isn't that sad?
There's a lot of bad but hot on television. There's very little bad but dowdy on television.
It's because...
She ugly. She ugly.
Oh, come on.
U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
But that's...
By the way, she hardly was letting herself go. You guys know, you can visualize Ann Curry. She looked beautiful.
She did.
Fat, wrinkled, toucan Sam, bitch.
Not at all.
Oh, hideous. Here's why I want to be a country western star.
You hate country western.
I do.
I thought you were going to go to the Olympics and be a fencer.
But no one says I can't do both.
Okay. All right.
I'm fencing with my fencer. I can write a song about that.
First hit can be that.
That's right. Because here's the thing. Country music is the only form of music in popular culture where the fans of that music are so profoundly effed up, so just white trash, damaged, toothless, bone-headed fender butts that you can be as horrible and as screwed up as you want, and they just love you more. It just your fans just rush to your side because they go, look, Cletus, he's just as effed up as we are. And they just rally around them.
Now, what are you basing this on?
The more drunken, drugged out, stupid, brain damaged you behave, the more the fans just keep showing up and supporting you. Randy Travis.
Ah.
Randy Travis, nude in a convenience store trying to buy cigarettes, drunk off his ass, hops into his 98 Trans Am, plows into a construction barricade, threatens to kill the cops when they show up to the accident scene.
That
I just painted
all
that
seems
picture
bad.
For you. That all happened.
Yeah.
Well, the fans are just so supportive of Randy. They're just coming out of the woodworks. I love Randy. Just free Randy, free Travis. They're just
really
two fans.
Just let them
stepped
go?
Up. One guy paid his bail in cash.
What?
A Randy Travis fan showed up to pay his bail in cash.
Where's the outrage there?
And another local attorney there in Texas, another fan, is giving him complimentary legal services and gave him his orange Texas Longhorns hat as a gift.
Hmm.
So they're just stepping up to show their support for Randy Travis.
Hmm.
He's just like us. He's naked and drunk and crashing into things. He's a man of the people. Unbelievable.
That is crazy.
I don't have time. I got a lot of good stories, but I don't have time. So you have to come back. I'm going to tell you who's making the most money on television per episode. Fascinating list coming up from TV Guide. We got all that and much, much more. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Rosanna Arquette is 53 years old today. Antonio Banderas celebrates his 52nd birthday. Biv DeVoe in New Edition. Michael Bivins is 44 years old today. Angie Harmon celebrates her 40th birthday. And actor Ryan Eggold of 90210 celebrates his 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There's the first of about 40 new Green Day songs we'll be hearing in the next 4 months, which is just crazy that they have three albums coming out. Speaking of music, how about Linkin Park and Incubus together? This is your last chance to win the tickets we're giving away for the Honda Civic Tour September 8th at the Home Depot Center. We're doing it with a little game we like to call Mumford the Hits.
Hey, my friend, if you can guess this song I'm singing, you will win the tickets. It won't be very easy, but if you can guess it, you will win the tickets. Guess the song I'm singing if you can, and then we'll give you some more tickets.
I think we get it now.
Good morning, Mumford. How are you today?
Aloha, Kevin and Ben. It's a pleasure being here.
Okay, hey, that's fine.
Your radio show.
Thank you,
it's really good.
It is really good. Okay, let's not ask Mumford so many questions. So here's the way the game is played. We have callers on the line. Mumford is going to be doing songs his way. They're all Linkin Park songs. Linkin Park lyrics done the Mumford way. All you have to do is identify what the actual Linkin Park song is. If you're right, you go into the drawing, and then Lisa May decides who gets to win the tickets for Linkin Park and Incubus together. You ready for contestant number one, Mumford?
I'm ready for contestant number one. It won't be long before this game is done. Okay. I think really should move on, give away some tickets.
Okay, that's
give
fine.
Away some tickets.
Matt is a teacher. Good morning, Matt.
Matt is a teacher.
No, that's my part. Okay. No, you wait. That's my part.
Thank you, Mumford. That was my part. Your part. Your part is to do a Linkin Park song, and then Matt is going to identify it.
Are you ready, Matt? You understand how the game is played?
I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Good luck.
I find the answers aren't so clear. I wish I could find a way to disappear. All these thoughts, they make no sense. I found bliss in ignorance. I found bliss in ignorance.
Which Linkin Park song is that?
Yeah.
Is it Numb?
I find the answers aren't so clear.
Yep.
Sorry, one step closer. Thanks for playing, though. All right, who's next, Kevin?
We got Reggie, an electrician. Hi, Reggie.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. Ready to Mumford the hits?
Yes, sir.
Good luck.
Yeah, here we go for the 100th time. And grenade pins in every line. Throw them up and let something shine. Going out of my effing head. Going out of my effing mind.
Oh, classic.
I'm sorry?
I'd say numb.
Still not numb. Still this time, wow. Bleed it out.
Yeah, here we go for the 100th time. Hand grenade pins in every line.
Yeah, so that's that one. All right, so we're 0-2. That's all right.
Okay.
Not a deal. The game is going so far.
don't ask questions, Mumford.
Let's go to Ashley, who is a student at Chino Hills High School. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't going to
happen. How are we feeling about Ashley? How's Ashley going to do?
Not going to happen.
Here's, wow, thanks.
Good luck.
In spite of the way you were mocking me, acting like I was part of your property, remembering all the times you fought with me, I'm surprised it got so far. I'm surprised it got so far.
Ashley?
Is it In the End?
It is In the
yes!
End.
Yes!
Nicely done.
First of all, we apologize for doubting you. Second of all, chicks are always better at lyrics than dudes are.
Yeah,
always. Congratulations. You are in the drawing. You're one step closer, no pun intended, to winning these tickets, but hang on. All right, who's next?
Next is Michelle, a legal assistant. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Ready to Mumford the hits?
I think so.
Good luck.
I can't feel the way it did before. Don't turn your back on me, I won't be ignored. Time won't change this damage anymore. Don't turn your back on me, I won't be ignored.
Language.
Yeah, let's not say that on the radio so much. All right, we need a title for a Linkin Park song, please. Just say Numb and be done with it.
No, because they were all wrong.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right, thank you for
faint.
Trying.
All right, I think we just have time for one more contestant, maybe.
All right, let's go to Peter, who is a machinist. If Peter does not get it, Ashley wins.
Yeah.
Good luck, Ashley.
All right, here's your song.
I want to heal, I want to feel what I thought was never real. I want to let go of the pain I felt so long. Erase all the pain till it's gone.
Very nice.
Let's go with Numb.
Are you serious?
How about Somewhere I Belong instead this time?
Sorry.
All right, Lisa, let's do that drawing. Is it going to be Ashley on line 3 or line 3's Ashley? Who wins tickets for Linkin Park and Incubus together?
Oh, my God. It's line 3 Ashley.
What are the chances of that? Congratulations, Ashley.
Oh, my God.
She showed us.
You win. And we doubted. She's the only one we doubted.
Yep.
We're bad.
Congratulations, Ashley.
All right.
I hope you have a good time at Chino Hills High School.
Thank you, Mom.
Tell all your student friends you won.
They'll
be real jealous.
Thanks.
They'll be real jealous.
My car, I am still in my car, I am here in my car, won't you come and see me in cars?
Here
in my car,
Gary Newman the hits.
In my car. Oh, I'm sorry. Love that song.
Ruff was doing the robot before that.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice work.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. The lead singer of the band Lamb of God joins us in a little while to talk about what it's like being locked up in a Czech prison. Also, Matt Money Smith with much better news for Lakers fans. That's on the way. First, though, it's Friday. That means Ralph is here, and it's time for the movie break.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
A grip load of movies coming out this weekend.
A grip load?
Grip load. Some of them are already out, like Nitro Circus.
Yeah, it'll open Wednesday.
It'll open on Wednesday. Also open on Wednesday is Hope Springs. We haven't talked much about this film, but what a cast. Meryl Streep, Tommy Lee Jones, Steve Carell. After 30 years of marriage, a middle-aged couple played by Streep and Jones attend an intense week-long counseling session to work on their relationship. Their marriage counselor is Steve Carell. Come on! That's funny! Hope Springs is directed by David Franco, real talented director. So if you're looking for a middle of the road, older romantic comedy, this seems to be right up your alley. Here's a little clip from Hope Springs.
You know, before you said it, well, I didn't want to be the one who said it first, but I just, I had to say it. So every time we talked on the phone, I would say it to the phone after we hung up.
Oh, I figured if I ever said anything like that, you'd take off running.
What?
You could have had your pick.
I never wanted anything more.
Nope.
Oh, it's sweet.
Nope.
Why I've do you, heard the why acting is older people amazing being in love? That Tommy Lee Jones and maybe one of his best performances.
Boring. Why can't older people be in love,
they
Kevin?
Can. I just don't have to watch a movie about it.
Boring. 2 Days in New York, the sequel to the Julie Delpy Chris Rock movie, is available also this weekend in limited release. Here's a little scene from that film where Delpy and Rock are talking about the fact that her ex, see, they both have children from prior relationships, and her ex is coming to stay with them for a little bit.
Are you mad at me for this guy coming?
Should I be mad? It's just your ex camped out in our living room.
My sister drives me crazy, okay?
What, is there something I should know? Are you fighting?
No. Because...
She's not normally like this. I said I wasn't going to get mad.
What's going on?
Ever since your family got here, you've become another person.
Yeah, Woody Allen suing. Hey, you made one of my movies without me. Hold on a second. Red Hook Summer is another film in limited release by director Spike Lee. We haven't seen Spike's work in a while. This is about a middle-class boy from Atlanta who finds his worldview changed when he spends his summer with a deeply religious grandfather in the housing projects of Red Hook, Brooklyn. Hence the title, Red Hook Summer. Here's a little clip from the trailer.
There's some shady people up here. This is not Atlanta. You understand?
Yes.
Good.
We live in a world of should not be. It should not be that radio and television and movies define who our boys are.
Working a day over at the Little Heaven.
It's my summer vacation.
Your summer vacation has work in it.
Hell no! That's what I would say to Gramps.
Summer vacation back is to Atlanta. Not about work.
In limited release is another movie called Goats.
Goats?
Yes. Sounds like a porno Bean would pick up, but no, it is actually stars Vera Farmiga. Love her.
Oh, yeah.
David Duchovny and Ty Burrell from Modern Family.
What?
This is also in limited release. It's a coming-of-age story. A 15-year-old kid gets ready to leave his luxurious home in the foothills of Tucson, Arizona, for his freshman year at Gates Academy, which is an English East Coast prep school. This means leaving behind Wendy, his flaky new-age mother, and the only real father he's ever known, her husband, just known as Goatman. He's a scientist who lives with goats. You know how some people live with bears or gorillas to learn how they operate?
Sure.
Goatman just gets nude and lives with goats.
Hmm.
What could be wrong with that?
Nothing, except you end up smelling like goat.
Yeah.
Here's a little clip from the trailer of Goats. No, that's goat whore.
What?
That's goat whore you're playing there. Oh. The movie's called Goats.
Oh, you want the movie clip?
Yeah, the clip from the trailer.
Sorry.
Goatman took me on my first trek when I was 11. When I was a baby, my father left and Goatman stayed.
Is that guy homeless?
No, he's a botanist and a goat trekker. In a few days, I leave for the prep school my father went to.
You wonder about this at Gates Academy?
Naked men shouldn't squat.
Naked men shouldn't squat. That's true. That seems like a quirky, funny, interesting film. I think I'm going to seek out Goats this weekend. But the big movies for the weekend are Campaign and The Bourne Legacy. I had to see. I went to see the Campaign the other day, and I'm telling you something. Here's the thing. I'm not a great barometer of Will Ferrell movies because everything he does makes me laugh so much.
Same here.
That it's hard for me to be objective about his films, but I really like The Campaign. Not only for Will's work, which, as I mentioned, always makes me laugh, but Zach Galifianakis, this may be his best turn as an actor. I mean, he was funny in the Hangover films.
He's better than funny. I mean, he was great in the Hangover films. This is better than that?
Okay, he was great in the Hangover films, but it was sort of a weird one-trick pony thing he was doing in those films. It was very funny, but it wasn't exactly a fully fleshed-out three-dimensional character, in my opinion. In The Campaign, it's the exact opposite. He plays Marty Huggins, a weird, odd little southern Democrat who gets sort of drafted into politics against his will, and it is such a full fleshed out realistic portrayal of a guy. It's don't get me wrong, it's wacky, it's out there, but it's a lot of heart in this performance. I was really impressed by his work. Will is funny as always. It's a political satire, but it's more satire than politics, so don't be scared off by that. But the two guys just are having a blast bouncing off of each other. You can tell they're having a good time, and you can tell there was a lot of improvisation going on in the film. Here's a scene where the two candidates, Will Ferrell's Cam Brady and Zach's Marty Huggins, are together for their first debate. And when they meet in the middle of the stage to shake hands during the applause, Marty tries to throw some smack talk at Cam poorly, and Cam comes back and shows him how it's done.
Good to see you. How you doing? Hate to break it to you, friend, but your balloon's getting ready to pop, and that balloon's full of your own butt toots.
Are you trying to trash talk me?
Might want to decide whether or not you're going to buy toilet paper or aftershave because your face is like a butt.
Oh, my God. You don't know how to trash talk, do you?
And then Cam continues to show him. He won't let it go of his hand. He keeps shaking his hand and keeps saying horrible things about his mother and stuff. And I'll tell you, this movie made me laugh out loud hard so many times. I really recommend it if you want a good belly laugh.
It's rated R, right?
It is. It's a hard R.
Love
it. It's just ridiculous. Babies end up getting punched and things happen. It's just ridiculous. And yet, in this current political climate, there's a lot of resonance for this film, too. You can check it out.
And I would vote for either of these guys versus the candidates that are really on the ballot, by the way.
I would. And Bourne Legacy, Tony Gilroy brings us the adventures of a brand new secret agent along the lines of Jason Bourne. Jeremy Renner plays a new hero whose stakes have been triggered by the events of the previous three films that we saw with the Bourne trilogy. Rachel Weisz also stars in this film as a doctor who is brought in to F with his mind, ends up being on the run along with Jeremy's character, Edward Norton. Great cast in The Bourne Legacy. Here's a clip where Jeremy and Rachel Weisz are trying to set up their alibis.
Anybody ask? You're June Monroe from Bethesda. You lost your wallet. I'm driving you home. My name is James. James and June. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that your name?
James? No. What? You don't know my name? What do you call me? What do you put in my blood work?
Five.
Five? The number five? You know how many times we've met? 13. 13 exams over the last 4 years. That's what I get. Number five.
Yeah. He's a project. He's a government project, and now he's let loose, and the government's not going to be happy.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it looks terrific. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Woo! 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 Oh. Yeah!
Yeah, okay.
Ah! Lakers!
Oh.
Ah! Lakers!
I'm with that guy.
Lakers, baby. Lakers.
It's been a long time since we've had this much chat in the summertime about the Los Angeles Lakers, but why not? Mad Money Smith making his 27th consecutive appearance on the Kevin Bean Show, claiming that the Dwight Howard trade is going to happen, is back on the show. Hi, Money.
Yeah, how about that? It's finally over.
What's happening? Is he going to come here or not?
Yeah. That is the part I'm most happy about, is this damn thing is finally over.
Dwight Howard is a Laker now, or do they have to wait for, what, final confirmation today?
Well, I guess that's kind of the funny part. You know, if the last time they had to wait for final confirmation and league approval, what happened? Chris Paul ended up not coming to the Lakers.
Right.
Different deal. I mean, you know, the league ran the New Orleans Hornets, so David Stern acted as the owner. And, the you know, the last line of defense for the Hornets when he rejected that trade, he does not own the Magic. He has no right to reject this trade, even though, if it were up to him, he would. He absolutely would.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is exactly what missing 2 months of basketball last year was set up to prevent. The Miami, you know, trio, the big three, the superstars, you know, forcing their way to a big market because they want to play in the bright lights was not supposed to be able to happen anymore. It was one of the big things the owners pushed for when LeBron James left Cleveland for Miami. It was a financial model to try to make it impossible for guys to do this.
So they want to spread the superstars around so that there's a reason to buy a ticket, for instance, to go see the Orlando Magic, and all the good players don't leave to go to bigger cities.
Well, and even, you know, even more than that being, you look at football, you know, and you look at how much those television rights are worth nationally.
Right.
If, you know, and it's because you've got a superstar in every single one of those 32 markets. You know, there's parity. You know, you're fine watching the Packers versus the Lions. It doesn't have to be the New York Giants. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have that.
But if you're one of the teams that it benefits, which is us now, however unfair it is, go Lakers.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think there's a flip side to that. And the Oklahoma City Thunder proved it, and the San Antonio Spurs have proved. And it's like, hey, not every team can be in L.A. If you're going to have a league, there's going to be some squads in small markets, and it's up to them to hire the right people to create a culture where guys don't want to leave. And that's what they've done in Oklahoma City with Kevin Durant. It's what they did in San Antonio. So it's not like it's impossible, but, I mean, that whatever. That's beyond it. The Lakers got the freaking best big man in the game, probably the second best player in the league in this deal.
All right, let me ask you this question, because the Lakers seem to work some kind of voodoo magic.
It's insane.
When Pau Gasol came to the team, everybody was like, this seems unfair for the other team. How did we pull this off? And now we get Dwight Howard and we keep Pau Gasol. That also seems unfair.
It's remarkable. I mean, not that I give a crap what the Orlando
I don't either,
Magic
but how do they do it?
Future, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, when it was Andrew Bynum and Pau Gasol, it's like, wow, it's a lot to give up. But I still said yesterday, you know, on the show, I get it. I totally get it.
Right.
Like, you know, if you're gonna get the second best player in the league, giving up the 14th and the 18th best player in the league, that's still not fair for the second best player in the league. That's just the way this game is played.
But we didn't have to give away Pau Gasol. That's crazy.
Yeah, the only thing I can, you know, and obviously I'm not in the middle of the deal, but I'm imagining that $40 million owed to Pau over the next 2 years is just a lot of money for any team to take on.
Right.
And Orlando didn't want it. They want to rip this thing to the studs and completely rebuild through the draft and really just be terrible and hope that a superstar lands, you know, at the 1, 2, or 3 spot this coming year. My guess is they're like, why do we want to be a 40-win team with a really, really good big guy that's getting $40 million over 2 years? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
let's just start over.
And even though he's been with the team a while, not very many people seem like they're going to miss Andrew Bynum.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
No.
Baby Bynum, as they call him.
Yeah, he is as talented as he is. You know, and even beyond his wacky attitude, is his knees. I mean, you're talking about a 7 foot, 290-pound guy that was born with knock knees. That's, you know, so, oh, well, the one time he got hurt, he ran into Lamar's foot, and then the other, well, yeah, that's because he's predisposed to land awkwardly. So that was always a concern for these Lakers is, you know, are we really going to give this guy $100 million over 5 years knowing, you know, that he's not quite built right.
Right,
right.
You know?
And he gets to sort of go home, right? Philadelphia, where he's going, is near his hometown, right?
You know, that's the other thing with Bynum. I wouldn't trust him signing an extension for anything because he is wacky.
He really is a
wacky dude.
He's a nut job.
I mean, I could see him just saying, yeah, I'm only an hour from home and Philly's cool, but you know what? They got Max Money down there in Charlotte, and I like NASCAR. Well, I'm going to go buy a garage on Tobacco Road and hang out. I mean, I could totally see him doing that.
So it was a four-team complex trade, but in the end, the Lakers get to keep Pau Gasol, and we get Dwight Howard for 1 year, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to sign an extension. He says he wants to get into free agency. And remember, you know, just 2 years ago, well, a year and a half ago, when this whole thing first started, he said, I don't want to be a Laker. But, hey.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because he was not that keen about playing with Kobe, right? There was a little frost between those two. Have they made up? Have they talked at all with Kobe being in England right now?
I don't know if the two of them have talked directly, but Kobe was asked to comment yesterday about the trade being all but official and was described as being ecstatic, overjoyed, especially because he did not want Pau Gasol included in that trade. Just the best way I can put it, Dwight Howard is so freaking good. For people that don't remember the 2009 finals when the Lakers won that first title, the Kobe, you know, leading the team era, that team that was around him was probably the worst team that ever played in the NBA finals.
Really?
Ever. But he was so good that he carried him. And that's what happens when you have a dominant big man, especially defensively. That's the big key. I mean, you got geriatrics hanging out on the perimeter for the Lakers trying to play defense. The fact that Dwight Howard's back there to erase all their mistakes, and that's what he'll do. I mean, this will be a tremendous defensive team. With Steve Nash running the point and deciding who gets the ball instead of Kobe, they're going to be a tremendous offensive team.
Yep.
Now, I mean, on paper, they're the best squad in the league. But, you know, there was some of that in Miami 2 years ago, and they had to figure out how to play with each other.
Right.
So there's going to be that kind of weird feeling out, you know, first couple weeks, first 10, 15 games, 20 games, that should be actually kind of fun and kind of funny to watch.
Well, it is Christmas in August for Lakers fans. Matt Money Smith on the show with us here. This will all be a done deal. They should have this thing dotted up by the time you guys go on the air this afternoon on P&M, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's just all pieces agreed to, submitted for league approval, make sure the salary, you know, there's just a bunch of rules. You know, salaries have to be within 150% of each other.
Right.
You can't trade draft picks in consecutive drafts, all that stuff. Just making sure.
Petros and Money Show airs weekday afternoons on AM 570. Thanks so much for squeezing us in today, man. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
If it gets voided, I'm not coming back on.
1 minute you're on stage playing with your band Lamb of God at a concert in Czechoslovakia, or the Czech Republic, I should say. The next minute you're behind bars being charged with manslaughter where you spend over a month.
That's happening to me?
No, that's happening to our next guest, Randy Blythe from the band Lamb of God. He is home. He's been home a week now. He will talk to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show Live coming up right after the news here on K-Rock. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday. What's going on?
I'm pretty sure it's not manslaughter. It's man's laughter. I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
If you look at it, it's the way it's spelled. I'm
man's
sure.
laughter?
Yeah, it's man's laughter. Mm. It's a much nicer crime, I think, when it's man's laughter. Let's talk about Amy Winehouse's ex, Blake Fielder Civil. He is in a coma as we speak.
Dude. He had a huge drug problem, right?
Huge. Huge drug problem, but apparently it was booze that got him this time.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
He was discovered by his girlfriend this morning choking on his own vomit. After staggering home from a drinking binge the day before, is according to MTV. They had to put him in an medically induced coma because his organs were starting to fail. And so they think this is the best way to treat him. Sarah Aspen is the mother of his toddler son. This is his girlfriend speaking. She's the one who discovered, I'm praying he'll survive. I'm having to prepare myself that he may never wake up. So apparently, friends and family are at his bedside. Amy's dad, Mitch Winehouse, said terrible news about Blake this morning. Remember, Amy loved him. Let's pray for his recovery. So, yeah, this guy got into crack and heroin. Reportedly, he was the guy who introduced hard drugs to Amy, and he's famous to saying she took to it like a duck to water. So, sad story, that whole relationship and both of those people. Real demons there. So,
we've got vomit!
Who's hungry?
And by sad story, I mean let's mock it with audio clips, of course.
Let's play some wacky clips.
TV Guide magazine has a rundown of who's making what in that industry. Fascinating, the numbers some people are pulling in for television. What makes me nuts is the judges on these competition shows pulling in crazy numbers.
I think they caught
the actors who are sweating their
Yeah.
Balls off every day on a set, 12, 14 hours a day sometimes, putting together these hour-long dramas, are making good money, don't get me wrong, in the big picture, when the average American family is making, what, $40K a year? But it's the disparity between the two is just nuts. You know, you have to stand there and watch Jugglers.
Right.
And you're getting $15 million a season where the guy who's learning lines and delivering performances and moving people, he's getting half a mil.
And that's like for a month's work or something like that. Is it because they're cheaper to produce?
I think so. There's more money to give.
It used to be, yeah.
Yeah, until those salaries started getting inflated. But here's an idea of the discrepancy between salaries. For example, highest paid, let's play the game, highest paid primetime drama actor on television. Who do you think it is and how much is he making?
Highest paid... Dude, drama.
Let's keep in mind, CBS has the biggest dramas on television, right? So these are the shows we don't watch. Like I'll give you the show NCIS.
Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon is the best paid.
Is he really
actor on television?
On
right
a
now.
Show I've never seen
per episode in a primetime drama. He is making $500,000 an episode. That's pretty good cash.
Yeah.
For a week's work or 9 days, whatever it takes.
So if he's doing 22 episodes, that's $11 million
exactly.
per season. Wow.
Who's making the most money primetime comedy? Sitcom actors.
Wow. What's the biggest sitcom out
there?
Modern Family adult cast is making about $175K each when you average it out. So they're like third on the list.
Third, okay.
Yeah. The next one is Kelly Cuoco, who's making $300,000 per episode for Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
She deserves
every penny. How about that John Cryer? He's been on CBS for a long, long time with a popular Two and a Half Men.
Right show, wrong actor. Ashton Kutcher is making $700,000 per half-hour episode of Two and a Half Men.
But at least that's paying off.
Isn't that insane?
But he also has to have sex with Mila Kunis, though, so it's not all sunshine and roses for him.
Best paid man in late night?
Letterman.
Letterman, absolutely. Letterman, yeah. $28 million a year he's making over there.
He works hard.
He does work hard. I have no problem with him making that money for the money he brings in for CBS. That seems fair. But here's what really chapped my ass. Let's look at the reality show judges, shall we?
Uh-oh.
Mariah Carey's new deal for American Idol will pay her $17 million per season.
Per season?
And per season!
Do they do two of those a year?
No, Idol, they just do one. Okay. But it's only January to May. That's it.
So it's half a year.
Half a year, yeah.
17 mil.
17 mil.
Wow.
She is the only woman on television working less hard than Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
And she's making $17 million. So Howard Stern's right behind her, by the way. For America's Got Talent, he's making $15 million.
Jeez. Wow.
Per.
Has he made a difference, Ralph? Do you know in the ratings for that show, adding him as a judge?
I don't know the answer to that. I didn't really follow it. But
I didn't watch it before or now, so I don't have anything to compare it to.
Turns out America does not have talent.
So there's your crazy money for television people.
Wow.
Nuts, isn't it? So while we're talking about hosts and things like that, Kevin Hart, it's been announced, will be the host of the VMAs this year, which will air live from Staples Center here in Los Angeles on September the 6th.
He yells a lot. And
he
says
does yell.
That sound like jokes.
He sure does.
Go to Red Wheel. You got a buzz on the bus.
I still don't know what he's selling on that commercial. I have no idea. And it's official. This Call Me Maybe song is just the biggest thing that's ever happened ever anywhere.
Yeah.
Still number one on the Billboard Hot 100. It's been there now for 9 weeks. It's been the number one song world.
It's a great song.
Really?
It is. It's a great song. Can't deny it. You can't hear that song and go and not think that's a great song.
I
can do that. I'm capable of that. It does get stuck in your head whether you like it or
sure
not.
Does. It is an earwig. It will last.
Definitely.
Does
it will
not
last.
Matter if you don't like it. It's there.
We were talking off the air yesterday, Ralph. I don't think you were in here. How many millions of dollars they've lost by not having an album to sell on Call Me Maybe. The album's still not out. It's all a single.
That's crazy.
But how many millions of dollars have they made on that single?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They've done well.
You know what it just beat? You know what it beat to be the hottest song in the country in this year? Gautier. Someone that I used to know.
Sure.
Yeah. So
it's everywhere.
At 9 weeks, it just beats out Gautier. That Gautier was there for 8. So congratulations to Carly Rae Jepsen.
No album.
That's a name you won't hear again.
That's true. She's put out 0 albums. That's crazy.
Yeah. She will be on the Where Are They Now show on VH1
next
year.
Years.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rosanna Arquette, 53 years old today. Antonio Banderas,
He is Puss in Boots. I am Puss in Boots.
He's 52 years old. Biv! Michael Bivins.
Biv.
From Belle Biv DeVoe.
Biv.
I still remember walking into that Jamba Juice and seeing Kevin's autographed Jamba Juice cup right next to Belle Biv and DeVoe.
Why do you have to keep bringing that
I
up?
I could not have been more proud of my man Kevin there, seeing him being honored right next to Belle Biv. I may have just been Belle and Biv. I don't think DeVoe actually was up there, but it was Belle Biv Kev, I think, was what it was on the wall. And a big autographed Jamba Juice cup. And I said, oh, look at Kevin with his place of honor on the Jamba wall.
They had all the greats in
all
that
the big ones. All the stars were there, and there was Kevin right next to Biv. Angie Harmon's 40 years old today, and actor Ryan Eggold of 90210 is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm Walk the Show.
Comedian Brad Williams on the show later on today. Actor Tyler Labine is here. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes, and we'll be talking to a man next hour who lost a leg to a shark. He's not as excited about Shark Week starting this weekend as we are, is he?
Nope.
First, though, one of the most critically acclaimed and beloved metal bands of all time is Lamb of God. They have been in the news lately for a reason they would rather not, and we have lead singer Randy Blythe on the phone with us right now to talk about being in a Czech prison for over a month, recently released just back to the United States last Friday, a week ago today. Randy, thanks for the time, man, and we appreciate you joining us here on K-Rock today.
Yeah, no problem. Nice to be here.
So my understanding, and I don't know all the details on this case, I know there are some things you can't discuss, is that you were arrested at the end of June, but the incident itself happened quite some time ago, right?
Yes. The incident had happened 2 years previous. We had played a show in Prague, and a young man was injured and fell into a coma and died a month later. And then the Czech police started to investigate this and contacted our government and said, hey, we want to investigate this guy on possible manslaughter charges.
Now, how did you get involved in that? What was your part? Why would they blame you?
Well, that's kind of part of the details of the case.
Okay.
You know?
That you can't talk about.
It was a heavy metal show. People jump up on stage and go crazy and all this other stuff. It's standard.
That happens every day at every one of your shows.
Yes, yeah. Every single day.
Of course.
So the young man in question left the stage and hit his head. And the young man's family, rightfully so, asked the Czech police to investigate this.
Right.
And I don't think the Czech police... or police probably in general have a pretty firm grasp on what a heavy metal show is like.
Right.
You know, and what goes on. So there's a lot of really questionable evidence about this young man's injury. Anyway, regardless, I was charged with manslaughter.
How did it happen, Randy? They came, like the next time you were in that country, they came and arrested you? Or did you know ahead of time before you entered the country that they were going to arrest you or what?
No, that's what I'm getting to here. Apparently the Czech police wrote to our Justice Department and contacted them, perhaps the FBI as well, and said, we have this this charge and this investigation against this young man for manslaughter. And our government, basically told them, no way, get out of here. I don't know if they thought the charge was unwarranted, enough
right.
for them to even bother to pursue it. And that's okay, I understand that. But our government never notified me. That's kind of a big oopsie.
Oh, so they never told you that the Czech government was looking into it or anything else?
No, I'm kind of perturbed about
so
that.
So you're blindsided by that when you go back.
Yeah, so, we booked a gig, no problem, 2 years later, and went back to play. And I was met by a SWAT team at the airport when I walked off the ramp to carry me away. I mean, there were guys with masks and machine guns. And,
wow.
It was pretty intense. And, I understand if our government didn't want to comply because they didn't think it was worth their time, but they could have let me know.
Yeah, you would think.
If the IRS can find me and the Justice Department can't, then our country's in trouble.
This is the voice of Randy Blythe from the band Lamb of God here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the incident that found him in a Czech prison for over a month. Look, we've all seen that locked up foreign show
locked
on
up
TV.
Locked up abroad, yeah.
Right, we've all seen locked up. Nobody wants to go to prison anyway, but particularly outside the United States. You must have been terrified, Randy.
You know, for the first
come on, man, don't be metal for 1 minute. Admit it to me. You were terrified.
I'm being honest. For the first 2 or 3 minutes, I was completely in shock. You know, I'm standing there, and it looks like with the people they've sent to come get me that you know they're there to pick up Al Qaeda or something.
Right.
You know, they had on full on masks, machine guns, big knives, all this stuff.
Like you were going to come off the plane with an AK-47.
Right. Well, I came off the plane, actually, and I looked. They took our passports, which is a little bit unusual, but I've seen it before because we travel all the time with people getting deported or whatever. That's generally what it is, you know, people hopping borders illegally or whatever. So I come off the plane, and I see all these guys, and great big guys with guns, and I look at my bass player, and I start singing Cool in the Gang. I'm like, there's a party going on right here. And he looks at me. And he goes, no, dude, this isn't a party. This is not good.
Maybe they arrested you for singing that song.
Yeah, see, maybe they have a no cool of the gang policy at the airport. You ever think about that?
Maybe the Czechs aren't fond of Cool in the Gang celebration. No. But they took, you know, they took me away, and it was very, it was startling more than terrifying because everything was so surreal.
But you're in a Czech prison now, and you're there for a week. At that point, you've got to be saying, what's happening? Why am I still here? You're there for 2 weeks. You're there for 3 weeks. I mean, at some point, did you start thinking, am I stuck here forever?
Yeah, absolutely. And the Czech legal system works different than ours, really different than ours. Because they granted me bail at my initial court hearing.
Right.
And in the United States, when you're granted bail, you know, that if the judge decides to give you bail, you post bail, and then you walk out of jail.
Right.
You know, your wife comes and gets you or whatever, and you say you're sorry, and, you know, it's a... You
and
know,
more importantly, you say that you will return for court. I mean, that's what the bail deal is about, is you say, I'm not a flight risk, I'm coming back, it's safe to let me go.
Exactly. In the Czech Republic, doesn't quite work that way. I post bail, then the judge granted me bail, my band got the money together, posted it, and then the prosecuting attorney said, no, I don't really like that. So he raised an objection. So it went to an appeal court. The appeal court doubled my bail. My ban, you know, we're talking about $400,000
wow.
at this point. Yeah, 8 million crowns. So they had to kind of scramble to get that money together. And then the prosecuting attorney, after they paid it a second time, objected.
What?
And said, I don't really like this. I don't think he should get out on bail. So I sat in jail some more and went to another appeal court, and then I got out.
Randy, let me interrupt you for 1 second here, just because we're running short on time. After you, as an American citizen, are in prison for over a month now, does the U.S. government then step in and try to help you? Because generally, they will intervene if they feel like there's something hinky going on with American being held in a foreign prison. Did they come to your aid at all? Do you ever hear from Secretary Clinton or anybody?
I saw a woman from the embassy in Prague once. To my knowledge, I was the only American in prison there in Pankrac in Prague. So it wasn't like they had a whole slew of guys from, you know, from Colorado to New Jersey to Texas or whatever in there.
But they didn't really anything for you.
No, I'm not very pleased about that either. I mean, I understand it's due process and there was an investigation, but the judicial system there is kind of messed up.
Did the people in prison know who you were?
Some did. I had some fans in there.
That would make it a little easier, I think.
Well, it could be good and it could be bad. you know, it depends on whether or not they like your music.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. No, so where does it stand now? When are you supposed to go back for trial if it gets to that point?
If it gets to trial, you know, I don't know yet. I was talking to my lawyer yesterday. It could be right before Christmas. It could be after Christmas. It could be the beginning of the next year. So,
are you for sure going to go to trial, or they might drop it along the way?
It's not for certain that I go to trial, because I've been charged by the police, but then, as I said, the Czech judicial system is weird. The prosecuting attorney hasn't charged me yet. So you got to get charged by a whole bunch of guys before things start going through. If I have to go, I will go.
Yeah.
I know how tough this has been for you, not just personally because of the experience you've been through, but, you know, you care about your fans, and the fact that someone was at a Lamb of God show and ended up being hurt and then later died, I know is going to weigh heavy on you no matter what happens after this. But I'm so glad that you got out. I mean, sometimes these stories don't have a happy ending of at least the person getting back to the United States. And I know you got a tremendous amount of support within and outside of the music industry where you were gone, too. And I'm sure that made you feel a lot better.
Yeah, I had minimal news of the progression of my case, because almost nobody in there spoke English, and I couldn't read a Czech newspaper.
Right.
But my lawyer told me, you know, your hometown is really standing behind you. All your fans are. There's a lot of people in the music industry standing behind you, and I didn't realize how much it was until I got out, because in there, prisoners would just give me little tidbits who spoke broken English. I'd come out to our hourly walk, and they'd be like, Ozzy Osbourne said something good for you.
Obama is a Lamb of God fan.
Yeah, I wish Obama had said something good for me, but
might have helped, exactly.
Yeah, more along the lines of the heavy metal community,
sure.
You know, and, you know, Slash from, you know, from Guns N' Roses. You know, all sorts of people who are just legends in the music industry were really supportive in speaking out, and our fans were certainly supportive.
So, that's cool.
You know,
well,
at home,
I'm glad you're home, and I hope it ends up, working out. Obviously, there's no way to bring back that young man, and that's the tragedy of this, but I do hope that the facts are at least presented fairly in court. You have your day in court, and hopefully are acquitted and get back to doing what you do. So thank you so much for joining us here on the Kevin Avinci. You can get more on this, by the way, including Randy's statement on the internet at their website, lambofgod.com. Follow him on Twitter at lambofgodband. Randy, thank you for the time. We appreciate talking to you.
Thank you.
I don't know why. It's some sort of a freak show today. We got the heavy metal singer who just got out of prison. We got a dwarf on the program later on today. We got a dude who lost a leg to a shark. And now this fool stepping in, Tyler Labine. I swear to God, it's like we're on TLC or something with Honey Boo Boo Child.
It's not often that I'm the most normal guest of the day. That's nice.
That is true.
Tyler is here. Of course, we always love having Tyler on, whether it's promoting his TV shows or his movies. But he's back in a show called Animal Practice that is going to be premiering in September. But you're getting one of those Olympic sneak previews after the closing ceremonies, maybe one of the biggest nights of the year in television. They're going to show your show right after it ends, right?
That's very true. Yeah. Sunday at, I believe the ceremony is over at 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting a nice free chunk of their ratings right now. It can't go wrong, I don't think.
Animal Practice. That's the show that hates black people, right? Because I watch the news. I've seen that you created some sort of a gymnastics controversy, or what's the deal?
I can't believe that went on. I mean, obviously, it was a big snafu, but it wasn't intentional by
any
means. We'd been running the ad for a while. And I think it's more racist for the people who are claiming that it's racist. You know, like, I don't watch a commercial with a monkey and go, oh, my gosh, look at that. African-American Olympian. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't even occur to me. But I guess for some people, they found it very offensive. And I understand that. And I'm sensitive to that. But it was a very, very honest mistake.
Yes. And we did nothing but defend NBC, because clearly they've been running that commercial all over the Olympics. They had no idea it was going to air immediately after Gabby Douglas.
Yeah.
So it was insane.
I agree with you.
Crazy.
It does take a certain mindset to even think that.
Just to bridge that gap
with
your logic, you know, to be like, yeah, to find that offensive to me, I think is kind of offensive in itself.
Right.
But we're definitely utilizing the built-in marketing tool Wonder, which is Crystal, our little capuchin monkey. I think NBC is, they're quite smart to be using that as a very, very viable marketing tool.
This monkey is one of the best actors anyone ever gets to work with, right? I mean, this monkey is a pro from The Hangover and from Friends and from all sorts of shows, right?
Yeah, big time. There's only two of these monkeys that work in the entire industry.
Is that right?
In North America, and Crystal is the is the better of the two, apparently. So we got even the best capuchin monkey in the world.
Does Crystal smoke and have a drug problem and all that?
Or? She doesn't smoke, but she's definitely, I think she's got a meth problem.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look at her name. Crystal, it's
good
stiffy.
Point. Yeah. Good point.
Look, I know you're a working actor and you don't turn down probably too many jobs, especially, you know, primetime network sitcoms. But was there a moment where you said, I don't know if I want to work with a monkey every day? I just don't know if I want that
in
my life.
I would love to work with a monkey every day.
Well, let me make a few things clear. It was definitely an issue off the top. I mean, after I read the script, which is, by the way, before I forget, the issue of the monkey being this big marketing tool and sort of a show being built around a monkey is it's not exactly accurate. The show is not about a monkey, but they're right. Just using, you know, it's actually a very smart show about humans, but we happen to have a monkey. But
sure,
that was a concern of mine going into it. When I sat down with the you know, Scott Armstrong and Ravi Nandan from American Work, I was like, I don't think I want to be doing a monkey show. And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. The monkey is going to be such an afterthought. And then, you know, then we get to promotion.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's all
but
they want to push.
But you don't want to be outacted either. I mean, you don't want to be
outstaged. No, I love being outacted. No, I love it. I love
upstaged
it.
Upstaged by a monkey.
No, it's day five and I already resent the monkey. So.
Who is hairier, Tyler, you or Crystal?
Actually, you know what? I am not a very hairy guy. I don't have any back hair.
I'm used to seeing you with those big beards sometimes.
I have a hairy head, yes. But everywhere else on my body is just, it's like a baby.
I don't think we need to go any further into that conversation.
All right. We're running desperately late today, so we're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, we need to really kind of flesh out what we know what we're talking about with this animal practice. You are, in fact, playing a veterinarian, though.
I am, yeah.
So you have a wacky assortment of people and their pets that come through the door. We want to find out more about this animal practice. You can see it after the closing ceremonies of the Olympics this Sunday night at NBC. Tyler Labine is here. We'll take a break. Come back with more after this on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's unnatural. I think that it's detrimental and ultimately destructive to so many of the foundations of civilization.
K-Rock.
We are proud of that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
Our friend, do you mind if we call you our friend, Tyler Labine? Does that bother you?
I'm honored.
Do you not want to be associated with the program? Because I wouldn't blame you if you just said, not so much with the our friend.
I'm honored. I got out of bed at 5:30 for you guys. I think we're friends. We're friends.
From the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, of course, from the hilarious Tucker and Dale versus Evil, and, of course, from the great Reaper, he is back on television starting this Sunday night with a sneak preview of a new show called Animal Practice. It will actually officially debut at the end of September on NBC. You are a veterinarian, and Justin Kirk is one of your co-stars. What other kind of animals, by the way, besides the monkey, do you have on the program? Being a vet, do people bring in hedgehogs and giraffes and just everything?
Oh, let me tell you, because we are not just average veterinarians. We are very high-end. We work at basically the Mayo Clinic of veterinary clinics. we had a Bengal tiger in the pilot.
Really?
Named Sheikah. Dude. Yeah, I'll show you guys photos later. It's
awesome.
Pretty rad. She was, like, spraying people with urine. It was awesome.
It's even better. Yeah. Even with handlers, that's scary, right?
Yeah. At one point, the one handler was like, yeah, you can get close to the cage. That's cool. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got up, and I just let one of my fingers, like, slip in through
the wiring or whatever.
Yeah. And he was like, back away from the cage.
Wow.
Lose a finger. And he just like lost it on me.
Oh,
I was like,
my God.
Like,
how big a tiger?
Oh, huge.
Full grown?
Yeah. We're talking, I'd say, a good 500-600 pounds.
How about a heads up before you walk in?
I'm saying that's how you start that situation. Okay, if you want to get close to the cage, don't put your fingers in there.
Right.
Yeah, but we have tortoises, guinea pigs, we actually have guinea pigs riding tortoises in the
suite
which we bet on.
I'm so in.
That's sweet.
It's like lots of snakes. Bobby Lee gets choked out by a snake. Which,
wow.
And this is great. Bobby Lee was more than cooperative to start. And then they put the python, or the boa, I think it was a boa constrictor, on his neck. And it started squeezing, and it secreted this natural defense mechanism, like this, like, poison.
Really?
And it gave him, like, blood freckles on his face. He got, like, his eyes swole shut and everything.
Oh, my God.
And then they're like, can you do it again? He was like, yeah.
We need another take.
Seriously?
You did it again?
And then we reshot the pilot, and he was like, do you guys need me to do that again? And I was like, you're out of your mind, man.
How many times does he need to get choked out?
I don't know. He's got some weird snake fetish, I think. But he's on the right show.
That is crazy. Now, what's the difference being on a big time NBC show versus all your years on the CW? Does it feel like an upgrade?
It feels
better craft services.
Oh, yes. We're on really great sound stages. You know, the sets are unbelievable. But Reaper was really – it was a class act production. I mean, they didn't cheap out on that show. Just obviously the network doesn't have as much money. Or maybe they do. I don't think NBC has that much money now, to be honest. But, yeah, it definitely feels like a home where I'll be proud to stay for a while. And I also am a big fan of the NBC programming, you know. So it's nice to be among some of my favorite shows. Yeah.
Why didn't they send you to the Olympics to do promotion for the show? You know, have you strategically placed, you know, in the crowd watching water polo and stuff like they do at baseball games? You know, during the World Series, they always have Fox stars there.
I didn't even think of that. Thank you. Now I have something else to be insecure about.
Yeah. There's still time. You can go to the closing ceremonies on Sunday.
Oh, good. Good, good. I'll do that.
Just before you're
just duck out of work for a week.
Have you been watching the Olympics at all, Taylor? Are you a fan? Do you care?
I have not. It's not that I don't care. I don't want to confuse those two. I've been very busy. I wish I had time to watch the Olympics. I do like...
Not all of it, though. You don't want to watch all of it.
No, I don't want
to watch all of it. There's some stuff that's BS, but...
Yeah. Tell that to the Olympians. I don't often get a chance to watch the Olympics. But also, you know, in Canada... You know, we love the Winter Olympics a little bit more than the Summer Olympics.
Right.
So
that's
something that we prize.
I totally forgot that you're one of them. Here I was am. Treating you like a real person.
Well, don't do that. Gosh, no. I'm going to get cocky. You do not want cocky Canadians running around.
No, you don't. That's the last
thing. Talking about the show Animal Practice, it debuts this Sunday night after the closing ceremonies. This is interesting that they're doing this, that they are carving, you know, premiering these shows a month early because they've got all those eyeballs on the Olympics. That must make you feel pretty good that you're one of the shows that they selected.
It is. It's nice to be on a show that feels like it's being backed by the network. You know, I've been on a few underdogs, to say the least, through the years, you know. So to know that they're investing some time and some money and generously donating a portion of their huge ratings, it feels good. It feels like we're getting supported.
Back to the monkey. Do you ever have to dodge poo?
Have I dodged poo? Yeah. No. But I have been very aware of Crystal taking a dump at one point.
Because she's in diapers.
Filming. She's in diapers, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But no poo
scene.
Is it a growler or what? How do you
not
know?
Not a growler. Just things get really quiet. There's a certain distance in the eyes, you know.
Does she reach back and then go, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She does pretty much everything I do when I take a job. So that's how I recognize it so readily.
She texts, reads magazines.
Yeah, she's on Twitter a lot, you know. Does her best thinking.
I have heard that it's very much like that with Betty White over at the Hot in Cleveland set, too. Same kind of deal.
I have heard that, too. Yeah.
Do they stop and, like, take the monkey out and change the diaper when that happens, or do they just keep going?
You know, it's still something I'm learning, the process here, but I believe usually it, the diaper is there as a sort of way to not interrupt production.
Because
I think she uses the toilet actually normally.
Does she have a one handler, 15 handlers? How does that work?
Basically, Tom is her main handler. They live together. They've been together for 21 years.
They live together.
They live together. She sleeps in bed with him and his wife.
He has a wife.
Okay.
Well, he's got
two of them.
Wife.
He's got a very open relationship.
Wow.
Because
they say monkeys are a lot of work.
Yeah, I believe it. But Tom has a huge team with him because we have so many animals on set that there's about six or seven on set at all time, and they all know how to handle Crystal, but they also all know how to handle the dogs and the tigers.
Tiger.
Whatever.
Jeez.
Heads up on the tiger again, guys. I mean, seriously. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right up to the cage. No problem.
It's a cool way to lose a finger. I mean, if you're going to lose a finger, that's a cool way. Get your finger bit off by a bear.
Yeah, you don't have to make up a story, man. You've got the story. That's amazing.
I got my iPhone with me. You bet I'll have pictures. I'll even have video, probably. In fact, I'm going to get my finger bit off on purpose, and I'm going to document it for you guys.
Sweet.
I'm looking forward to seeing this show. I can't imagine, it's not hard enough to put together a television show. Now you've got to juggle all of these various animals at the same time. It's crazy. So.
It's very true. They say never work with animals or children, and I've done it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler Labine has been our guest Sunday night after the closing ceremonies. You don't want to miss Animal Practice, and then it returns September 26th. It's going to be a Wednesday night show on NBC. Great to see you, Tyler, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Give me the age you were at each of your weddings.
First one was 21, Vegas drive-thru, $40.
Sweet.
Next one, 24.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 27, and my birthday, 30.
So 2 to 3 years apiece.
And how long did each of them last?
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Well,
wow, she's just not paying attention. Yes, Lisa? Yes, Lisa, I want to hear this.
Sometimes you have like a six-monther, that kind of thing, which right. almost doesn't count. So that's but kind of what I was wondering.
But she just listed each
she
one
listed
of them.
The okay. year, anyway.
And I said 2 to 3 years.
Okay. I thought it was well done. I loved it. A shark survivor joins us in studio. He's going to hobble on in here right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Really? I'm sure he finds that comedy funny.
What?
He's going to hop on in.
Did he lose a leg or did he not lose a leg?
He said he's going to hobble on in here. He didn't even say hop.
I'm
he lost a leg.
I'm in awe of the man fighting a shark and winning. Believe me, I'm honored to have him in the on the show. I'm looking forward to talking.
I can tell by the way you're respectfully talking about him. You couldn't fight off an easy chair getting out of it, and this guy fought off a shark. So why don't you show a little respect and just pipe down?
I had a fly once I couldn't catch, so I just sold the house and moved.
Victoria Beckham, we just talked about her this week. She and her husband David are on the Forbes list of top 5 richest celebrity couples. Well, you wouldn't know it.
You wouldn't know
by her behavior. Story out of the Sun newspaper in the UK says that she took her mother-in-law, 4 kids, and 2 other kids, friends of hers, I guess, to a place called the Pizza Express here in Los Angeles the other night, and they racked up a $115 tab. That's a lot of pizza. Well, the kids love pizza.
Sure.
She paid in cash, which is nice, and then left 0 tip.
Wow.
No tip.
What?
None.
That's a dick move.
But the manager in the story said she's a very polite, nice, regular customer, and she's always welcome to return. Yeah, the manager said that because he's not the one living on the tips. Now, some people came to her defense and said, you know, in the UK, tipping is different than it is in the United States.
Oh, is that right? They don't tip?
The tipping is not as automatic as it is in the United States. To which my response would be, you live in the United States!
And have for a lot of years.
Learn our ways, alien. Boy, that's a sore spot for me, bad tippers. Having been in the service industry for many years myself, it chaps my ass when I hear that. Especially someone who's got just nothing, just money just coming out of her butthole.
What?
She has money coming out of her butthole.
She does?
She poops coins.
That's great.
Yes.
Bitch
that's
got no class.
Science. It's hard to make enemies at church, wouldn't you think? Isn't the church all goodwill and fellowship and kumbaya?
I think that's the plan.
Peace be with you, brother, and hold my hand, and love me do. And
I don't know that it's a
saw her standing there.
Bunch of Beatles songs.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Alec Baldwin has managed to make some enemies at his church. That doesn't surprise me. It seems like a cranky guy.
He really does.
He's a regular at Most Holy Trinity Parish in East Hampton, New York, and the other parishioners apparently are getting an ass full of him. They feel he plays the movie star card a little bit when he comes in, and he is disturbing their worship. So the most recent sermon, apparently, he was doing a reading at church, and several of the parishioners turned their backs to him while he was reading.
Are you kidding?
They all have to stand while someone does the reading. They would turn around and turn their backs to him in silent protest while he was up on the altar.
That seems a weird way to handle it.
Well, it's better than booing or throwing things, I guess. That's the only thing you can do in church is turn your back and just show your displeasure. But they would like him to find another house of worship.
Wow.
According to the New York Post. Riley Keough is probably best known as the 23-year-old granddaughter of the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. She was engaged to an actor named Alex Pettyfer. If you saw Magic Mike, you know who Alex is. Or if you saw I Am Number 4.
Sure.
She discovered that her fiancé, Alex, was cheating with a lingerie model and has called the wedding off. Her mother, Lisa Marie Presley,
just over that,
is being supportive, saying she's secretly pleased and thinks it's the best thing that could have happened to her daughter, Riley, because there were some questions about Alex's behavior before this, so that marriage is off.
Why is she so uptight, Ralph? Do you know?
I know. Just look. Every man deserves a lingerie model once in a while. Just keeps the juices flowing.
He probably just fell.
He fell into the lingerie model.
It was an accident.
Look, talk to OSHA. It's one of the most common workplace injuries. And while we're talking about money, as we were with Victoria Beckham, TV Guide has released a list of the
Stars who are making the most in that industry, primetime dramas, Mark Harmon takes the number one slot with $500,000 per episode of NCIS.
On the show that none of us know anyone who watches.
That's right.
Oh, maybe Bean's dad. Is that one of your dads?
Of course. Yeah. CBS drama? Yeah, it's perfect for my dad.
Ashton Kutcher wins in primetime comedies with $700,000 per episode. Whew, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For Ashton Kutcher.
By the way, I wanted to run in here. They gave you the gamut on in this story, from the highest to the least paid.
Right.
I wanted to jump in when you guys were talking to Ty Levine.
Uh-huh.
Crystal the Monkey?
Yes.
You know how much she makes per episode?
I do not, no.
$12,000 per episode.
That's a lot of money for a monkey.
Wow.
That buys a lot of bananas.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Late night, David Letterman beats Leno by the tune of about $3 million. He's making $28 million. Leno's making $25 million. Jon Stewart's making $16 million. Craig Ferguson makes $8 million, as does Chelsea Handler.
Oh.
$8 million for that show?
Wow.
She can't even read a cue card.
I'm just surprised a show on, what, Comedy Central, that isn't anywhere near as watched as some of those others you mentioned, is making that much money.
Yeah, well, Stewart's been there a long time, and I'm sure this is a couple deals renegotiated.
Sure.
To get him up to
No,
that
no,
level.
I'm talking about Chelsea Handler.
Oh,
I'm about Chelsea Handler.
She's on E. Yeah, she's on E.
Oh, she's on E. That surprises me they're paying that kind of...
Ecstasy.
Wow.
Yeah. Mariah Carey's new deal for American Idol will net her $17 million per season for that show when it comes to reality shows. And Howard Stern is next highest paid, $15 million per season to judge America's Got Talent.
I'm glad he found a way to make some money finally.
Finally, that guy.
It's about time that dude's earning a living.
Before I get to birthdays, let me give away some passes real quickly to the world premiere of a brand new comedy called Hit and Run.
Yay!
This is happening at the Regal LA Live next Tuesday, August the 14th. It's in theaters everywhere Wednesday the 22nd, but you will see it before anybody else if you're one of the first three callers at 1-800-520-1067. Not only will you see it early, but you get to walk the red carpet along with the stars of the film. Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell and Bradley Cooper are all in the movie. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers gets a pair of passes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ryan Eggold of 90210 is 28 years old today. Actress Angie Harmon is 40. Is she working? She in that...
I'm not sure either. Don't know what she's doing.
Rizzo and Riles.
Isles?
Isles. Isles and yeah. Rizzardi. Rizzo. Risotto.
No
Risotto and Islands.
Rizzoli
and Pasta Fazool. I'm not sure. I think she's in that show. She's 40 years old today. Michael Bivins of Belle Biv DeVoe and New Edition fame is 44 years old. Antonio Banderas is 52 years old. Rosanna Arquette celebrates her 53rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's a dude in the studio without a leg.
Well, he's got a good story, though,
well,
Kevin.
There you go.
Let's not be rude to our guest.
What do I do?
Shark Week begins this Sunday night at 9 on Discovery. What? I'm trying to intro the thing with the deal with the guy.
Dude has no leg.
I understand that. Shark Week begins on the Discovery Channel. It's back for yet another year. This Sunday night on Discovery, Mike Kutz is in our studio. He will be featured on the episode called Shark Fight that airs on Wednesday. Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I apologize in advance for my coworkers. They are
no worries.
Mike is Hawaiian, though, native born and bred, so he's very chill. He's impossible to offend. Everything just rolls off of Mike, so we're going to be fine.
I think. Keep it coming.
I did notice. I saw some of the episode. I did notice that you're the most laid-back guy that I've ever seen attacked by a shark.
why haven't you said why? Like, I would still be screaming from
right.
it.
Right.
And you've moved on, it seems like, Mike.
Yeah.
Tell us about what was happening. You were surfing with a buddy and
yep. How long ago, first of all?
It was in 97 off the island of Kauai.
All right.
Beautiful morning, surfing with some friends. We paddled out about 7 a.m. Nothing out of the ordinary, just real blue, gorgeous morning. Another day in Hawaii. And saw a really nice wave coming. And I had been laying there for a little while, you know, waiting for a good set. And as soon as I saw a nice one, I went to go for a paddle and... As soon as I made that first initial paddling movement, a tiger shark came vertically and grabbed onto me. It wasn't...
So you didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it wasn't
you
like in Jaws where you see the fin from far and the music cues. It was just total blindsided attack and grabbed onto me.
How long did it take you to realize what was happening?
Instantly. It was,
you knew,
yeah, it came right up and it was right in my, basically
oh,
in
I
my
see.
Lap
so you
and
saw
I'm
it.
Looking right at it. Yeah.
And I mean, had that happened a lot in that area?
No, it's a pretty rare thing.
I was
going
to ask
yeah.
if it was normal
no,
for
no,
those kind of
yeah.
shark. What kind of shark was it?
Tiger shark.
Okay.
Correct.
And how big are they, Mike?
They get as big as great whites, believe it or not.
Wow.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
The one that bit me was 12 to 15 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
So it's got your leg in its mouth.
Yep.
That's bad.
Yep, that's bad. And
okay.
it started shaking back and forth pretty violently. I remember just going, like, swaying left and right. And as soon as it stopped doing the shaking thing,
Is that its natural way
yeah,
to tear it off?
I think so. Just like a dog with some meat.
Right.
Were you
exact
hanging
same
onto
thing.
The board?
I was just hanging onto the shark, basically. The
oh.
thing was, you know, it had me both legs.
Both
legs? Mouth, both legs, yes.
Wow.
And I punched it. As soon as it stopped shaking, and just out of instinct, didn't know what else to do, but punch it. Yeah.
And it worked?
And it worked. Second punch, let go instantly and disappeared.
Sharks are such pussies. You just punch them once and they just swim away.
But now
they're
you can
mean.
Bleed to death.
Yeah, so I got back on my board. I looked at my index finger and it was split open like a potato. I could see the bone and I started freaking out. I had no idea about my leg. I was just like, oh, this is not good. I better
you
go
didn't
in.
Feel
and
the
I didn't feel a thing. I just,
because
actually,
of the
I, did,
adrenaline?
I felt pressure, but I didn't feel any pain whatsoever.
Okay.
No pain at all. And there was a guy next to me that watched the whole thing and I looked at him and his eyes were just out of his head.
Right.
Completely freaked out. And
you're like, dude, it's just a finger.
And I yelled, shark. Probably the most obvious thing you could possibly say.
I'm a little late.
A little late.
After
yeah.
he watched it.
Yeah, so I yelled
Thanks
shark.
For the heads
and,
up.
And he took off and he started just swimming to the beach and I paddled behind him. And as I was paddling, my right leg started doing this weird spasm, like a vibrating kind of thing. And I was thinking, I'm going to look over my shoulder and see the shark attacking me again.
Oh, you thought you
yeah,
were being attacked
again? Yeah, because there was this weird shaking, and I looked over my shoulder, and my leg was just completely gone. I had no idea that it had come off.
That's so weird.
Perfectly amputated. Absolutely perfect amputation, and could see
well,
the blood squirting
good.
Out the middle, you know, every time my heart was beating.
Oh,
and
my God.
How far down on your leg, Mike?
Little above the ankle. About halfway down my shin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that could have been a lot worse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it could have been my knee, but
wow.
Yeah.
Now, I'm fascinated by the you didn't know that you'd lost a foot to
yeah.
a shark, because what have you learned since then in recounting your story to doctors and stuff? Is it a shock thing, an adrenaline thing? How did you not feel? Why was it not the most painful experience of your life?
I think because the nerve, everything is just so severed that your body, it's your own body's defense mechanism to not freak out. When something that traumatic happens,
I would start crying like a girl.
But I mean, at that point, aren't you still worried about bleeding out?
Yeah. So,
how long did it take you to get into shore?
Luckily, right after I saw my leg, a little baby wave came. I caught it and rode it right up to the sand. And some of my friends.
Did you stand on it?
I did, actually.
I was just joking.
No, but as humans, we're used to standing up. So I went to go stand up. You know, try and stand up, get out of the water, and without a foot, obviously, I fell over, and I'm covered in blood, and now covered in sand and blood.
Wow.
And,
all right, we have to pause the story right there.
No.
We have to take a break.
What happens
death.
When he gets back to the
That's
sand?
That's what we're going to talk about when
but
we get back.
But the man is dying.
Mike Kutz is here. His episode, Shark Week starts on Sunday. Your episode is on Wednesday. And it's called Shark Fight, and we'll be right back on the World Famous. Let me just tell you a quick story during the song. Beer Mug had to engage our guest with a story.
Who do you think that story was about?
And it went like this. The only time I've ever had anything happen to me like that is I'd cut my toe on a bottle.
Why?
So
would
Beer Mug is telling a guy whose leg got bitten off by a shark and a fascinating story about cutting his toe on a bottle.
Why would Beer Mug try to compete with Mike's story?
I don't
Seriously.
Know.
Just let Mike have this one, okay? He wins. Mike Kutz in studio with us here at the world famous K-Rock on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is part of the stories unfolding this year on Shark Week, beginning Sunday night at 9 on Discovery. Mike's episode airs Wednesday night. Now, when we had to take a break, because Kevin is a bad person, you found yourself surfing back to shore, actually trying to stand up even though you had a foot missing. And now I imagine is when things get serious. The tiger shark has already taken your foot above the ankle. You're kind of in shock a little bit, but now and very soon in your story, it has to start hurting like a mother effer, right?
Yeah, so I got to shore as quick as I could, and my friends all ran up to me and dragged me up a little higher up on the sand, and had the decency to put a tourniquet around my leg. They used my surfing leash to stem the bleeding, which I actually found out later saved my life with the blood loss I had.
Saved your life.
Saved my life, yeah.
I thought you were going to say saved your leg.
Yeah,
no. Part of it
that would have been nice, but no.
No, I mean the part of it that you still have.
Yeah, yeah.
But, wow, your life. That's scary.
and a pickup truck ran 4x4 on the sand, grabbed me. They threw me in the back of the truck, and we...
When did it start hurting like hell?
Not until after waking up in after surgery in
Is
the hospital.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. You were in shock the whole time.
Whole time.
Why didn't you pass out, Mike? I would think that would be your body's reaction.
On the ride to the hospital, I was laying by myself in the bed of the truck, and I remember getting really hot and really cold.
Uh-huh.
And there was a surfboard next to me that had a cloth board bag, and I was looking at the fibers of the cloth, just kind of playing with it, keeping my mind off the injury. And I just remember this crazy feeling of, you know, from 1 second freezing, feeling like I'm, you know, in Alaska or whatever, and then I'm in the desert 5 seconds later, sweating to death.
That's weird.
Yeah, crazy.
Your body just didn't know what to do with all that going on. So you get to the hospital, they take you into the emergency room, and what they're really trying to do is just close the wound,
so
you stop bleeding.
Yeah, shark's teeth have a lot of bacteria, pretty dirty, so they amputated up a little bit higher to make sure that I wouldn't get any infections and to, you know, assure a good fit for my prosthetic. There's like an optimal residual limb size, so they wanted to make a good fit. So they did some little surgery on that and woke up from the surgery. And
that's when you felt the pain.
And that's when I felt the pain, phantom pain. Yeah.
How long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for a little over a week and then bedridden for about a month.
Now, you said phantom pain. So it didn't hurt where the cut was.
No.
It hurt lower?
It hurts where your brain thinks your foot still is. Your brain goes through probably every possible feeling of like it felt like blood was rushing through my toes. It felt like somebody was taking a knife to my toes. It felt like it goes through every possible feeling you can have to try and figure out what's wrong with your body and what's missing. And
it can't get.
Yeah, it's the nerves trying to figure, you know, sending off signals, and there's no return signal. So it's freaking out.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
And that can go on for years.
Yeah. I had it for about 6 months, pretty bad.
Wow.
So how long before you're able to go through the process to start getting a prosthetic leg or foot, I should say?
There's a lot of swelling afterwards, and you have to wait for the swelling to go down. So it was about 4 months, I believe, until I got fitted for
my
prosthetic.
And what were you thinking all that time about your life and how it would affect you?
I was just – I thought I was going to die. I thought I was on my deathbed to the hospital. So I was waking up in the hospital. I was pretty
good
stoked
news.
To say the
pretty
least.
Pretty happy that you're still alive.
Yeah. That I was still alive and yeah. So
what kind of work were you doing at the time of the injury, Mike?
I was trying to be a professional bodyboarder, boogie boarder.
Okay.
And, so I had hopes of, you know, making
so
a living
that,
off
did
the
that
ocean.
Dash those dreams?
Yeah, it did dash those dreams for sure, obviously. Yeah.
But I say that, but you've managed to still figure out a way to make a living in the water, right? Aren't you working as a photographer now?
Yeah. A lot of my friends are pro surfers, and being out of the water for a while, they're like, well, do something. Here's a camera. Shoot us surfing. And kind of grew from there.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Was there ever, I mean, this is maybe a stupid question for a native-born Hawaiian, but was there ever a question of whether you were going to go back into the ocean?
No. For myself, the hardest part of rehabilitation was not being in the water.
Of course.
Yeah, because that's all I knew, and that's all there is to really do in Hawaii is be in the water.
Yeah. So. There are people who won't go into the water, Mike, because they've seen Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. That's enough to keep them out of the water. You've actually been bitten by a shark, and it won't keep you out of the water.
Yeah. But does it keep you from watching Shark Week?
No. I love Shark Week. I'm fascinated. Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing now. As far as preservation, because this is an amazing turn.
Yeah, I got contacted a few years ago by the Pew Environment Group, and they wanted to know if I was interested in doing some conservation work. And I had no idea at that time of what was going on with shark finning, where they cut the fin off of a shark and dump the body as it's still alive overboard. And it swims, you know, for a day or two until it can't swim anymore and dies. And it's all for a soup in Asia. 70 million sharks a year are killed.
70 million.
When I heard that number, I was baffled. I thought there was a couple extra zeros.
70 million are killed per year.
Per year.
Wow. And did you say if that continues?
Continues at the rate it is, the oceans will be depleted of sharks very soon.
And tell me, and this is not a wise-ass question, an honest question is, why is that a bad thing? What do sharks contribute that is so positive that we want to make sure to keep a healthy supply in the oceans?
Sharks are at the very top of the food chain. They're an apex predator, so they hold everything below them in check. Without sharks, things will start to crumble below them all the way down to microscopic levels, and the reef systems and salinity and water, every possible aspect of the ocean will be affected with the removal of sharks.
Oh, my God.
So you're now going in front of Congress and meeting with people and telling them that you need to protect sharks.
Yeah.
Are you hoping to find your foot again?
No, but
have you given up on that?
I've given up on that.
But that's admirable. I mean, that you're doing that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I just, you know, feel in a position to turn a liability into an asset, and it's working.
How difficult is it to live with a prosthetic foot? Is it comfortable, or is it a pain in the ass?
Early on, it was a bit uncomfortable. I've gotten pretty used to it. I can do basically anything any able-bodied person could, except for...
Can you surf now?
I can. I surf every day.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you see that guy from South Africa running in the Olympics with both of his legs, I guess, but he was born
incredible.
With it. I mean, that just must blow your mind when you see him run that fast.
Yeah,
right?
I wish they could develop a leg like that for surfing.
A surf leg.
Yeah. No, well, that's amazing.
I mean, you're so lucky to be alive. Obviously, you know that. And I really do think being a chill Hawaiian kind of kept this thing from getting out of control. I think you kind of just are one of those dudes who takes it as it comes to you, right?
Oh, well,
sounds
thanks.
Like you're just chill.
Yeah,
I mean, I think being chill prevented you from freaking out,
probably.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I guess, yeah.
It's an amazing story, and I'm so glad that you're here to tell it. You can see Mike's story on Wednesday as part of Shark Week on the Discovery Channel, which begins this Sunday. Continued success with all the work that you're doing, and get out there in the water and have fun, man. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Brad Williams, one of the funniest guys we know, certainly our favorite of all dwarves, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. There are always tons of reasons to go to krock.com. Here's one for you right now, brand new Muse song. How about that? The Second Law, Unsustainable. Brand new music from Muse. You can hear it at krock.com right now. This one has been a little bit controversial with Muse fans, Kevin, because it's got a little bit of dubstep influence.
Well, when you think Muse, you think dubstep.
Apparently they went to see Skrillex and were blown away by his show and what he did to his audience.
I also think of reggae when I think of them.
So if you want to hear some different sounding Muse, go to krock.com. And speaking of Muse, they are supposed to perform on the closing ceremonies at the Olympics this Sunday night. We haven't seen much of Muse lately, even though they recorded that song for the Olympics, but we want to find out what's going on with the closing ceremonies and what has happened in the past week since we last spoke with our England correspondent. John Sherva joins us on the phone. He is the LA Times Deputy Bureau Chief, and he is in London. Hi, John. How's it going, man?
Things are going well here. It's a nice little segue you get there on Muse and, you know, what they're going to, the closing ceremony. I mean...
I was very surprised that they put out that song as the, quote, official Olympic song, and then I haven't seen it once.
Yeah, not one time. I mean, we honestly expected when we first heard that Muse song, which sounds like perfect for playing in stadiums, they should have been playing it after, you know, the U.S. women's soccer team yesterday, instead of We Are the Champions, play the big Olympic Muse song. But it's just been completely absent so far in two whole weeks. So, I mean, I guess the plan is they're supposed to perform it Sunday night in the stadium, right?
Yeah, they are. And by the way... I can't tell you how sick of Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire! Why won't they stop playing that?
It's relentless.
Every single medal that they give out, they play Chariots of Fire.
But
they love.
But don't you just well up?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
No. No.
It was a bad movie, too. It was like the second worst Best Picture ever.
It was a bad movie.
No.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's the most boring Best Picture winner ever.
But
absolutely.
But they love it. It was in the opening ceremony. Remember? They played it in the opening ceremony. I was like, how are they dusting this off, not knowing they were going to play it for every single medal giveaway? I mean, it was ridiculous.
But what they did in the opening ceremony was really great with Rowan Atkinson. I mean,
that was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes.
But anyway, the other people that we're hearing at the opening ceremony would be like George Michael,
the
Paul
closing.
Weller.
You said opening.
Closing,
you mean,
I mean. Yeah, closing.
Blur is going to play, right?
I think so. Ray Davies from the Kinks. Uh-huh. Blue, Kate Bush, Spice Girls, and I'm sure they'll probably close with Adele. So.
Wow, that's an all-star lineup. Now, the difference between the opening and the closing ceremony is what? The closing one is a little looser and a little more fun, right? Not quite as regal.
Yeah, it's like a concert, actually. And all the athletes come in together. They don't come in by country. So, the closing ceremony is actually, it's kind of fun. It's a big concert, essentially, what they do. And doesn't have all that pomp and, you know.
Right. It's the exclamation point on the host country's 2 weeks. Now, let me ask you this. What about the people like the swimmers, for instance? They've been done for several days. Are they forced by their Olympic teams to stay in country to hang around just for the closing ceremonies, or are they free to go home if they want?
They could go home if they want, but most of them stay because once they're done with competition, you know, frankly, all the athletes are, shall we say, hooking up.
I can imagine that. I can imagine that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they had I think there's the there's an official condom of the games,
right?
And they had brought in like 150,000 of them, and there was this controversy when some rival condom company, you know, brought some of their condoms in, and it was a flap because it wasn't the official condom company.
A huge condom flap.
This is the voice of John Sherva here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Los Angeles Times Deputy Bureau Chief. LATimes.com has had phenomenal coverage, as has the real paper of the Olympics. Let's talk about medals for a minute. The U.S. has to be thrilled. I mean, they're leading the world. 90 medals so far, 39 gold. What events are still left, John? There's just today and tomorrow, right?
Sunday, too. But basically, they're really well set up because they're going to probably get gold in men's and women's basketball. There's four relays in which they probably will win three and drop a baton in the fourth. they have at least a silver in women's volleyball. They're playing Brazil for that. And then, you know, just some other things will just pop up. I mean, they're actually in BMX right now. The U.S. guy was doing well or moving on to the final, and I think this is in the regular division, not the division where they put the playing card in the spokes.
Right.
So this is, you know, and all really China's got left. I mean, they'll pick up a stray medal or two, obviously in volleyball playing the U.S., but they'll have one more diving medal, and then they're kind of done.
So we're going to end up looking pretty good overall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you there at Wembley yesterday to see the women win the gold for the third consecutive Olympics in women's soccer?
I was not at Wembley, but I was watching it here in the office on TV, and I mean, Hope Solo was the total key. I thought that Japan was attacking more. They looked good. I'm not going to say that the U.S. golds were fluke golds, because they weren't. They were skilled golds, but I thought Japan probably played better, and Hope Solo was the difference.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah,
when they won the gold, though, how unbelievably happy were they?
They were extremely happy, but I was disappointed that they all went and put on, like, those Nike shirts, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, come on, you're going to commercialize that up, and they did.
But let me ask you, I'll ask your opinion, John, but Kevin, I particularly want yours. Do you think the women's soccer team would have rather won the World Cup or rather have won the Olympic gold? Because this is still second to the World Cup.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely no question. World Cup is bigger. They'd much rather have won the World Cup than the Olympics.
So Japan still got some bragging to do with their team. All right. Yesterday I tune in, John, and I guess it's called rhythmic gymnastics. There's five or six girls out there that are throwing balls in the air some sort of choreography.
It's BS is what it is.
You know what I'm talking about? You know the event that I'm talking about, John? What the hell is that?
It's rhythmic gymnastics. There are three disciplines, the ball, the ribbon, and the hoop. And actually, if you go back to Los Angeles, there was a big ribbon controversy because the air conditioner system at I think it was Pauley Pavilion, was wreaking havoc with the ribbons. So, you know.
But that can't be a real Olympic event. It looks like something your six-year-old daughter would do on a Saturday morning to win a prize. I mean, how is that a sport?
There's a lot of them like that. I mean, how's trampoline the sport? You know, it's just
well, at least they're doing gymnastics in the trampolining.
What is this?
The gold medal name was Dong Dong, so you got that going for you.
But what's sporty about this? I mean, this is dancing, right? This is dancing is all this is, right?
It is, and actually one of my colleagues said, thought that, because it is, when you watch it, it's kind of a suggestive sport.
Yeah, they just need to add a pole.
That's exactly what it is. Just add a pole and you're all set. You know?
I just couldn't believe that it was real. I honestly turned on my TV and I thought, oh, I'm on the wrong channel. I wanted to find the Olympics. I just couldn't believe I was. I mean, it was astonishing to me. And I guess I'm an idiot because I missed it in previous Olympics. All right, you finally get to come home. It seems like you've been over there about 6 months. How forward are you looking to that flight on, I assume, Monday, John?
Actually, I'm waiting till Tuesday because we got to break down the office on Monday, and I've been here about a month. It'll be about a month.
Wow!
And but that's what you do at an Olympic Games, and it's fun. Most of my colleagues are here a little less time, maybe 3 weeks, because I've got to get here and set up all the.
Right.
The internet, all the infrastructure and things like that.
Sure.
But I'll be glad to get back to Los Angeles because I think there's a sports story in Los Angeles right now that's way bigger than the Olympics.
Well, it would be Dwight Howard.
Yeah, yeah. you're going to be with the Lakers. A lot of happy basketball fans when you come home, that's for sure.
I will tell you, though, you are missing out on 110 degrees, so enjoy.
Oh, yeah. It's nice that you're here.
John Sherva has been our Olympic correspondent for the past couple of weeks. He, of course, is the LA Times Deputy Bureau Chief. And you guys do, I check you twice a day, I check you, latimes.com. You guys have been doing a great job with phenomenal photos and write-ups and insightful commentary. We really appreciate your time. I hope we get a chance to stay in touch with you when you get stateside, John. Thank you.
You bet.
Funny man Brad Williams did Love Line last night. He's doing the Kevin and Bean Show coming up next. He'll be in here right after the top of the hour. Ralph joins us now for our Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
I join you now. Join me tomorrow night. Me and Kevin Smith, we're doing our show, The Hollywood Babylon Show. We're doing it from the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano.
No.
I'm going to go down there with the Swallows. I'm going to swallow in Capistrano.
Okay. All right.
That's good news for extra all you fellas.
Extra bonus.
Yeah. It's an interesting evening the Coach House is doing. First, at 8 o'clock, they're doing a screening of Mallrats, Kevin's classic film.
That is a great film.
Get to see a young Ben Affleck get his crap beat out of him, which is always fun. Jason Lee also stars in that film. Kevin and Jay Muse, of course, reprise their roles as Jay and Silent Bob. Great film. I really enjoy that film. I'm going to go down early just to watch that. And then 10 o'clock, after the movie's over, Kevin and I take the stage with our Hollywood Babylon show. So if you want to see the show and you're down there in Deep Orange County, come out and see us at the Coach House tomorrow night.
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
No. As I mentioned, at 8 o'clock is the movie, Dave, and then 10 o'clock will be Hollywood Babylon.
This is a mess.
Okay, Dave. All right. I left my late-breaking best story on my desk.
You want to go get it?
But I'm just going to paraphrase it because I read it, but I didn't have all the details. But the interesting story about the B.C. boys, MCA's will, it turns out, ensures that the Beastie Boys will never be corporate sellouts. Adam Yauch, in his will, instructed that his image, music, and any art he created could not be used for advertising.
Really, ever? No matter what?
No matter what.
How about that?
So he gets a vote from the grave, basically. He's saying, look, I'm saying no to whatever's pitched.
When Nike comes to the Beastie Boys and says, yeah, we want to use Sabotage in our new commercial, MCA automatically votes no on that.
How about that?
No commercials, no corporate shilling in any way for any of the music that he created with the Beastie Boys. So
I wonder how they make decisions like that.
I'm guessing each of the guys has an equal third vote.
And if that's the case, they could still outvote him.
They could still outvote him,
sure. But he can still vote from beyond.
He has left his instructions quite clear regarding anything like that. So
I've never heard of that before.
I haven't either.
Wild.
But in a world of, deceased musicians becoming corporate shills, he's made sure that that does not happen.
Now, does he say anything about getting a hologram, putting the Beastie Boys back on stage with him as a hologram?
He does not mention specific hologram usage, no.
Okay. So. Got to think of everything these days when you die.
You do.
Don't put me in any porns. I mean, everything. Everything's got to be out there.
I mean, that was a big controversy when some Lennon music and his image and stuff were being used by different corporations. I mean, died. But back in 1980, when he passed away, no one could consider that they would use your image and computer, manipulate via computer your mouth and make you say things you never said before.
Right.
But that's all happened since. So Beastie Boys will remain pure as far as MCA is concerned, which is kind of
cool. I just wonder if they'll ever record again, if there's ever going to be any more music, or is this the end? I mean, is there nothing after this?
I don't know, man. Look, in a world where the monkeys can go on without Davy, I think anything's possible. You know what I'm saying? Right? Yeah. You with me?
Yes.
Right? Sure?
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk about Ann Curry. She, of course, is off the Today Show. She is claiming that part of the reason they fired her from that show was that her style wasn't what they wanted on the show.
I wouldn't doubt that.
She refused to dye her hair. She was getting gray. The producers hated her clothing choices. She wanted to wear flats, and they wanted her to wear heels. Pretty much every step of the way, she would balk at their image making.
Isn't that the way TV works, though?
Especially news, and especially daytime
news.
I mean, those morning shows are basically now just entertainment much more so
than
they
are. You do what they tell
news.
You to do.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, you cannot like it, but that's the way the game is played. And, Ralph, am I wrong about this? I mean, literally, they can track ratings based on the host's hairstyle.
Yes.
What's more popular than the other?
I know producers spun out when Katie Couric cut her hair because there was a blip.
That's weird.
In the ratings. So. We're a deep people, the United States.
We are. I'm proud of us.
We're very deep people. Sean P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Dua Diddy Combs, in talks with producers, if you believe the New York Post, to become a judge on American Idol. Would
really?
You talk Would you watch American Idol if Puff Daddy was a judge?
I am not a fan of that show.
But Diddy, come on.
No.
Are you not entertained by Diddy? Brad Paisley and Nick Jonas also in talks to possibly replace the judges that are leaving the show. Now, see, the thing is, Randy Jackson's place is on the bubble. I think if they got Diddy, they would put him into the sort of the producer, you know, behind-the-scenes guy role, and then let the other two guys talk about the performances.
So, are you not entertained? No. Are you not entertained?
Once again, no, sir, I am not.
The only thing I will say about Diddy that he has that almost none of the other names besides Simon Cowell have is that he's actually developed talent.
Yeah.
He's a guy who has signed bands and groomed them and worked for, you know, worked for a label and put records out and had hits. I mean, he knows what he's talking about, at least.
His opinion would carry some weight. Good news for Whovians like myself.
What's a Whovian?
A Whovian, Kevin, is a fan of the Doctor Who show.
Oh.
We're Whovians.
Okay.
Star Trek has its Trekkers.
And you're a Whovian.
And I'm a Whovian as well. The 50th anniversary of Doctor Who is this year. BBC is doing a television movie about how the series got started, including hiring of the first Doctor, who was played by... That's, of course, William Hartnell. We all know that.
Sure.
So it's exciting. They're going to see that you see the creation of the series. It'll take place
Whoville.
In the '60s when they created it, and
take you right through Whoville.
I believe you're confused
when he fought the Grinch. I remember that episode. Yeah, that was good.
That's the wrong Who. No.
And who's playing Max now?
Exactly. Exactly. Who is playing Max? Doctor Who? Exactly. And I missed Heather Graham in Hangover 2. I wish she had gone to Thailand with the guys and been all hoary there.
She was great.
She was great in the first one.
She was.
Well, the good news is Daily Variety reports that she's returning for Hangover 3. Her character of Jade, the Vegas stripper that Ed Helms gets involved with and marries in that film.
Yeah.
We'll be returning in the third installment of the Hangover trilogy.
Where are they going now? Mars?
I believe they're going to Mars, yes. I mean, they need to bring oxygen to Mars. There's a three-breasted hooker. It's very
strange. I don't know how you do it. No.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rosanna Arquette is 53. Antonio Banderas turns 52. Biv of Belle, Biv DeVoe is 44 years old today.
How do you rank them in your mind?
I think DeVoe first for me, then Bell, then Biv is bringing up the rear.
Oh, he's at the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, you're an outlier.
Yeah. Angie Harmon is 40 years old, and Ryan Eggold from 90210 celebrates his 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations to Erica Anderson one more time from Burbank. Just won the grand prize today to go see Linkin Park and Incubus in the Honda Civic Tour in San Francisco.
Wow. All the way to San Francisco? So now she's got to learn the language and get all of her money changed and go through customs. And that's like a 14-hour flight. Wow, that sounds like fun.
You lose a day each way. It's strange.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Williams.
That's my name.
Stop being so short, man.
I'm trying. They're working on a cure.
Brad is, of course, one of our very favorite comedians. You can see him on stage this weekend at the Ice House in Pasadena starting tonight. Tonight and tomorrow night. Two shows both nights. And you just did Loveline last night. You've worked You're working more in this 72-hour period than most people do in a month.
I know. And Drew, man, Dr. Drew, he has some dwarf sex questions.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
He did not. He was fascinated by it.
I think we all
really?
Are. I think we all are to some extent.
But Dr. Drew doesn't seem like the type of guy who would be tempted by those kind of details.
I think we finally figured out what his freaky button is. He's very like, you know, no, Dr. Drew, but then, no, you start talking about dwarf sex, he's fascinated. How does that work? What happens? What's the best positions? It's awesome. I think he has a fetish. I think he has a fetish.
Well,
I think he goes home, puts on the top hat, has the cane, has four Oompa Loompas around him. He starts licking his own wallpaper. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I think he does that.
I hope that's the case. That would be the
sounds
best thing
like
ever.
We need to download last night's Loveline podcast is what it sounds like. Now, you were telling us right as you sat down, right as you crawled up into the chair, that you had a call last night that shook loose a memory that you had not thought about in a long time.
Yeah. Somebody called. It was actually your buddy Psycho Mike, and he asked, he's like, now I know you're a comedian and we're friends and you don't get offended by anything, but has there anything that's ever really offended you in terms of how people have reacted to you being small?
Uh-huh.
And it's only one thing really ever stuck out in my mind, and I was just sitting down on a bench somewhere and I saw this kid staring at me, which I don't mind because kids are blank slates. It's new to them, and the dad sees this, takes the kid, starts walking over to me, and I'm like, okay, the dad's going to ask me to explain my situation to the kid, and that's great. That's what you should do.
Education.
Absolutely.
All right.
And then the dad walks up and says, okay, son, like I told you, and he can verify it right now. Now, you are working undercover for Santa, right? And you're the elf, and you're, like, taking notes on who's naughty and nice. And I'm looking at this guy like, are you effing kidding me?
He's trying to control his kid.
Yes. And he's trying to be like, you gotta behave because they have, you know, sleeper cells out there that they can just activate.
Was he winking at you at the
Absolutely.
Same
like, come on, play along with my little game. And I was freaking out. I got so mad, but I know I can't really get mad because the kid's there.
Sure.
So what I did was I looked at the kid. I said, yes. Yes, I am an undercover elf. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. You're doing fine. You're on the good list. Now, so, like, let me guess. You probably want, like, a bike and, like, an Xbox. And do you have a pool? He's like, I don't have a pool. I'm like, okay, you're getting all these things. You're getting a bike. Nice. You're getting an Xbox. You're getting a pool. And then I said, the only way you're not getting these things is if your dad fails to fill out the proper paperwork.
Oh, sweet.
And the dad's, like, livid at me right now. He's like, what are you doing?
Too
like,
bad.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? You brought me into this. I'm sorry. Awesome. I'm not going to play your game.
I'll be whatever elf I want to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
You get a lot of calls while you were sitting on Loveline last night with people who had dwarf questions?
No. I mean, like, Loveline's the type of show where people like to, like, they wait for half an hour on hold to right. try to get in. You know, everyone's calling in, but I got
calling about their own problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I got a lot of tweets.
Yeah,
yeah. There was one girl who heard me on Loveline last night named Grace, and she's just like, "This has to happen. This is now a thing for me. See this."
All right.
I'm like, "That's fine. I don't know. You got a name Grace. That's kind of like Mabel, where it's kind of like out of style a little bit. But I don't know how hot a Grace can be. But whatever, it's cool. It's all right. I'm turning some hot Graces out there.
You do not turn away the interest.
It's really tough. You know, when you grow up 4'4", you don't get a lot of attention. When you finally get the attention, it's really hard. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like how Adam Carolla tells the stories about he can never let food go to waste.
Right, sure.
Like, you know, he'll eat out of a dumpster and stuff.
Sure.
Well, I won't exactly eat out of a dumpster.
You can't reach, but...
Yeah, whatever. But...
whatever the physical version of that is,
yeah,
you do
exactly.
it, though.
I can't let... I don't let women go to waste.
I love that.
I can't. Right. I can't.
And following you on Twitter, it's unbelievable the pictures you put up.
Yeah, you know.
It's unbelievable. I go, Brad, again, I can't believe it.
Oh, speaking of Twitter,
yes.
I got... some people got mad at me recently for a joke I tweeted. I tweeted a joke that said, homophobic dwarves should be called Chick-fil-A nuggets.
That's a funny joke.
I liked it. And some people were just like, well, are you commenting on Chick-fil-A as a respectable corporation? And,
oh, dear God.
And they just went off. And I'm like, it's a joke. I don't care.
There's no room for that anymore.
Apparently,
that.
Comedians are just getting in trouble. And some people were like saying, some people were trying to figure out what my stance is on it.
Right.
You know, like
your stance is that was a funny joke.
That's my stance. That's it. Just be fun. It's like some people are like, oh, so you're anti-gay or whatever. No, I go, there's a gay nightclub that is open on Monday nights across the street from my house called Club Envy. It's in Fullerton. I go because guys get me drinks because my butt is amazing. I love that. Guys Brad, look at me going, I haven't had that yet. And they want to get me liquored up. I'm fine with it.
Anybody that'll buy you a drink, you're fine with.
Absolutely. That and you know me. I'm a lightweight. You get me a shot.
No one cheaper to liquor up than Brad Williams. It takes about 2 ounces of alcohol and he's yours.
You get me a shot and a half of NyQuil. I am gone.
Brad Williams in our studio on the Kevin and Bean Show performing on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena. You will have the time of your life. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. You can buy tickets at icehousecomedy.com. When we come back, Brad, I know we got some other things to cover, but there's a controversy involving a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's up at TMZ.com right now.
I saw it.
Midget bowling has reared its ugly head again. Midget bowling. We'll discuss with Brad after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Finally, the weekend. If you're looking for something fun to do, how about the Ice House in Pasadena tonight? Two shows with our friend Brad Williams. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow. Tickets available through icehousecomedy.com. All right, Brad, I promised before the break that we bring your friend up. Now, you know this guy who's involved in this Sturgis motorcycle rally controversy in South Dakota, right?
Yes, his name is he's a dwarf named Short Sleeve Samson, and I know we all have great nicknames.
Sure,
and he's actually a pro wrestler. That's his normal day-to-day activity.
Oh, I see. Okay,
which yeah. By the way, that's why that would scare me. But, I mean, he at least he fights other dwarves. They don't put him in with, like, The Undertaker and say, have at it. You know what I mean? Like,
he's not on the WWE. I didn't realize that there was a Dwarf Wrestling Association. Is that a thing that people go to?
Yeah. I mean, why? If you heard that midget wrestling was in town, wouldn't you go to that?
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, granted, the top rope is, like, 2.5 feet high. But.
All right. So well, what's the controversy? What happened?
The controversy is that Zach Brown, who is a very, very popular country singer, he's kind of like a Dave Matthews. He's not a hardcore country guy, but he just recently had a number one album. He is at this motorcycle rally out there in Sturgis, and he participated in midget bowling, as they call it. There was not mine. And I guess he was throwing, there's video at TMZ.com of him throwing your friend's short sleeve down a track, I guess. And he got a strike, by the way.
All right.
And naturally,
put some good English on it.
There are people who are complaining about it. And, of course, those aren't little people who are complaining. It's always people who think that little people are offended by it, and that's why they're bitching.
And listen, I know Short Sleeve. He loves money. Right. So he's doing this for a paycheck. He is getting paid. It's not like he just showed up. They're like, hey, do you want to get greased up and thrown down a track? Like, he's not doing that.
Somebody grab him. Let's throw him.
Right, exactly. That didn't happen. He had full knowledge of it. See, a lot of people are getting offended by this. I don't care about it because of that. He's agreeing to it. He's getting paid money. The only thing that I'm wondering is where do you put the fingers? You know what I mean? For the ball?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's...
Because that's not something you want to consider.
Right. That's the only thing that really frightened me. I heard that. I'm like, ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's only a few options.
Right. Yeah. When like Jerry Sandusky is in line to bowl next, you're like, that might not be a good thing. I don't know about that. But yeah. But like the whole dwarf bowling, midget tossing, like if
can
you
he
do
get
it,
hurt though.
Well, not for the bowling because I mean, by the way, this is something that I think everyone did at least once in college, like jump down some sort of slip and slide and like bowl into something.
Of
like,
course, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Like we all do it, and just when you throw in a midget, it makes it more awesome.
It does. That's correct.
I'll say this. Midgets are like human bacon. We just make everything better.
just sprinkle a little midget
just
on top.
Sprinkle midgets
and
on
everything's
it.
Good.
Exactly. Like think about the worst thing in the world, and then you'd like I don't know. I think that we could actually make the queen smile.
I
really do. I think she could be sitting there going, oh, no, I don't like the Olympics, not at all. Oh, a tiny human. This is fantastic. I want to squeeze him.
By the way, I don't know if we ever
mentioned. You could nail the queen.
Oh, that would be the best. I don't know if we ever mentioned this on the air or not, but didn't Brad tell us at one time that he's some sort of a world record holder in a dwarf event?
I am.
What was that?
Yeah, I am. This is when you guys were thinking. By the way, your Olympic correspondent is great. He's awesome.
From the LA Times?
Right. Yeah, but you were thinking about possibly having me do that.
Right.
And because of a story I told off air where there is actually something called the Dwarf Athletic Association of America.
Right.
And it's like we have Olympics every summer. Every summer there's dwarf games.
Okay.
Awesome, by the way.
Does it move around?
Yes, it goes from city to city. I think.
Are you like a conquering king when you go in there? You ride in on a donkey?
I ride in on two dolphins.
He rides in on a cat, there you Kevin. Go. Come on.
This is onward, my steed. That's a chihuahua. Whatever.
So you're Peter Dinklage when you show up at the dwarf game.
Oh,
basically,
yeah.
Right?
I'm king. King. And when I was 12, I set the world record in the 50-meter butterfly swim.
Which, really?
Awesome.
Yeah, so I did that. But it's really weird to watch a dwarf butterfly swim because, A, it takes a lot to get this head up out of water. Like, I take, like, two breaths the entire time. And, like, whereas Michael Phelps has that huge wingspan where he can just cover so much water.
Right.
And he does kind of slow. Me, I'm like two propellers on my side, just like, and I'm just going. Like,
was that the only year that you competed?
No, I competed quite a few years. And by the way, dwarf track is the funniest thing you
when
will ever see.
When
life.
Can we host these games?
The best thing about dwarf track is that the longest event is the 10-meter run.
Yeah, we have the dwarf track and field event. We have the 6-inch hurdles going on right now. It's going on good.
When can we host this?
Oh, my God. Just because dwarfs running is the funniest thing.
I'm with you.
Because we don't run, like, our legs don't go one in front of the other like normal legs when we run. They go off to the side.
Right.
Which is really funny because if we're, like, if we get too close to each other in the lanes, one of them will kick another one.
Oh, and,
like,
sweet.
We, like, start falling over.
This is
would
all
they
good.
Appreciate Kevin and Bean hosting?
This is all good. I think so.
You do?
You know, because you guys used to do that basketball game.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
There's a picture of Dwarf Track right
there.
That
is right there, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here you go, Kevin. Now, I'm on the website now for the Dwarf Athletic Association.
Right.
We've already missed the 26th Annual National Games. They were in Dallas over the 4th of July weekend.
Shoot.
But the 2013 World Dwarf Games are happening next year, happening in August in East Lansing, Michigan. Apparently, we've got them in America next year, so we could make plans to attend for that, right?
Is it in Michigan?
The World Games, yeah.
I think that's something that Kevin and Bean, that's remote.
If you it would be over amazing. 500 athletes around the world competing in the 2013 World Dwarf Games. How about that?
You darn right.
But I would like you to compete in every single event. 100% of the events.
Basketball is awesome because like no one knows how to rebound.
Oh, we know. We played two games.
Oh, yeah.
Cheaters.
You guys are cheaters.
We're not cheaters.
Not to paint just with a broad stroke, but you guys are all cheaters.
Just because we kick you in the knee and then grab the ball and you can't complain because you can't be the one that's like, the poor dwarf hurt me. No.
That's true.
Well, they hold the World Dwarf Games every 4 years, last held in Northern Ireland in 2009 and in France
before
that in 2005.
Oh, that's terrible. Why would you have a Dwarf Games in Ireland? How many people thought that the leprechauns were invading?
Seriously.
That's terrible. You're just like walking around, going out for a pint. All of a sudden, there's 10 of us rolling deep, and you're just like, what happened? They're real.
We may have to go to this next year.
I want to know where to go.
Look at that guy swim. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's not
right.
Moving.
I was way faster than
he wasn't moving.
Well, it's impossible.
He was treading water.
We have heavy heads, and our butts are fat, and they float. And it's just like when you throw us in the pool, we're face down, ass up. You know, like that's us. It's hard to swim.
It's like a half hour.
I know. Don't get me wrong. My 15-year butterfly wasn't quick. Like I didn't do it in like 14 seconds. No,
it's just quicker than everybody else.
Yeah,
right.
It was like a half day marathon.
It's the best thing I ever heard.
Ice House in Pasadena. By the way, home of the Lansing Lugnuts. If I have my facts right,
Lugnuts. Go Lugnuts.
Ice House in Pasadena is where Brad Williams will be on stage tonight. You'll have a great time. There's an 8:30 and a 10:30 show tonight, and then an 8 and a 10 o'clock show tomorrow night. Tickets available through IceHouseComedy.com, and you should follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. His website is bradwilliamscomedy.com. All right, is Brad sticking around or is he saying goodbye? What's happening? What are we doing?
Hey, whatever you guys want.
Whatever you want.
All right, I'll stick around.
We'll figure it out.
Shout out to K-Rock listener Mike, by the way, who's streaming the program this morning from Lansing, Michigan. He says he listens to us on his iPhone every morning. He is so in for the World Dwarf Games. Not only am I going, I plan to tailgate. Just don't bring beer mug, but we'll see you guys here next year. So it looks like we've got a plan, you guys.
Sweet.
Looks like we're staying at Mike's house in Lansing, Michigan.
Let's do this.
Love Brad Williams is in studio. Ralph joins us now. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat for the week.
Speaking of beer mug, this email comes in from listener Dan. Ralph, if Bean has Asperger's syndrome, does this mean Beer Mug has dumb Asperger's syndrome? Let me know. Dan Hunio. Thanks, Dan, for listening. And you must be a doctor or something. You diagnosed Beer Mug over the radio.
Accurately.
That's insane.
Impressive.
Ha, ha, ha.
Well done, Muggs.
Good
put us
retort.
In our place.
Good retort.
Those improv classes are really paying off.
Yeah. Well yes, played. And.
Ha, ha,
yes,
ha.
And.
Oh, yeah? So's your mom.
Your mom.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about if I give some more passes away to the world premiere of Hit and Run?
Yay!
Story of Brad Williams in a bus.
How dare you, sir?
Well, I'm
did
just
you
saying.
Or did you not get hit by a bus?
I got hit by a bus.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Did the bus stop?
Nope.
That was hit and run, then. The Regal LA Live next Tuesday, August the 14th, is the date. It's in theaters everywhere Wednesday the 22nd, but you will see it before anybody else. Not only that, you're going to be right there on the red carpet with the stars of the film, Kristen Bell, Bradley Cooper, and writer-director star Dax Shepard. He put this film together. You can check it out. Story of a man who risks everything when he leaves the witness protection program for his fiance and pays dire consequences when his former criminal pals catch up with him. Bitches, man. They always got to complicate your life. He was fine. He was safe in witness protection. Oh, I want to go to Los Angeles. So for the woman, he does it. And next thing you know, his life's in danger.
They'd be crazy. They'd be crazy.
So much better if we were all gay, fellas. I'm telling you.
You're crazy.
I'm just saying.
Gay
you're
dwarf.
Crazy.
If you were gay, you wouldn't bother you. You wouldn't mind.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true.
Gay
and
dwarf
we,
would
you know
be
what we'd
fun.
Do? We'd all watch football and we'd drink a bunch of beer.
Yeah.
We'd just all have sex with each
That'd
other.
Be awesome.
It would be a little slice of heaven. Right here on Earth.
And Brad wouldn't have to worry about the finger holes in bowling.
Careful.
We're talking
Careful.
About bowling. I'm saying we're talking about bowling.
What's going on?
I just think a gay man would love a gay dwarf because we have small hands and make everything look big.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Hold me again, tiny dancer. Carly Rae Jepsen
She has the number one song on the Billboard 100 with Call Me Maybe. Not just this week, not just last week. For the past 9 weeks, it's been the number one song in the world.
Wow. Doesn't it seem like it was a huge hit long before that as well, though?
I think I remember the first parody being released during the Carter administration. I remember that.
It's been around forever.
Is there anyone who hasn't made a parody yet?
I don't think so.
I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Oh.
No, now,
a little late to the game.
Yeah.
Stryker, who works here on K-Rock, tweeted a few days ago that he had just heard it for the first time. He'd never heard the song until like 4 days ago.
Well, he's got his finger on the pulse of musical culture, as
just
usual.
Just in case, Ralph, that there are listeners who don't have any idea what the hell we're talking about, I do have a hook of the number one song in America, Call Me Maybe. Do you mind if I play some of that?
Oh, please do.
My balls itch so much.
I don't think.
They really, really itch a lot.
I'm pretty
My
sure.
My balls, they itch so much. They really, really itch so much.
I would beg to
that's
differ.
That's a weird song for a girl to write.
I believe that is
9 weeks number one. That's crazy.
That's Scratch Me Maybe. That's you're thinking it's a different song. Her song is Call Me Maybe.
I wish I could reach my balls.
Don't we all, Brad? Don't we all?
I can't reach my balls. I can't.
Tiny arms.
You could have stretched, right?
I might pull a muscle or pop a vertebrae or something.
Too much information.
I have tiny arms.
We all turned and started staring at Brad's crotch when he said that. Said, let me try to do. Let me get a protractor out and try to work the angles and see if it's possible.
I have much information, man.
Yeah. I have small arms. If a T-Rex ever looked at me, it would be like, "That's messed up." Like, it's insane.
Or it would think you were a child and try to nurse you with T-Rex teat.
I saw T-Rex teat last night.
Yes.
The True?
They're great.
MTV Video Music Awards are going to be at the Staples Center on September the 6th. They have just announced, MTV, that they have hired comedian actor Kevin Hart to host the show. That show is going to be unwatchable. It was before I found out who they were hosting. Wow, they just have interesting choices over
there.
They
really make strange ones.
Was it Russell Brand last year? Yeah. Did he do it?
I think so.
Second time. Kevin Hart, they don't want me to watch. All right, I get the message, MTV.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm
Kevin Hart hates that I'm a comedian because I'm the one guy smaller than him.
He is not a big fella.
He is a tiny.
He is quite small.
I'm the man. I'm the boss. He's a black midget. Rent rims. Get your rims. Rent them.
I don't know what's going on with that guy. Interesting list from TV Guide regarding how much TV personalities are making. You'll be surprised what some of these people are pulling down, I think. For example, Mark Harmon, who's on a show called NCIS that none of us watch, $500,000 per episode for Mark. It takes roughly a week to film an episode of a TV show.
So $500,000 a week, that's not that much, right?
That is a good living.
That is a good living, right.
Ellen Pompeo of Grey's Anatomy makes $350,000 per episode. Kevin Bacon is on a show called The Following.
Did anyone know that?
Hasn't even aired yet.
What?
New?
Oh, okay.
$175,000 an episode.
It hasn't even aired yet.
They're nope. Same thing with Lucy Liu in Elementary, the new Sherlock Holmes TV series.
No kidding.
She's getting $125,000.
Wow.
So those are some of your salaries. Ashton Kutcher for comedies is making $700,000 an episode. It takes like 5 days to make one of those, and you're working like 8-hour days. It's really a sweet gig, the sitcom.
No kidding. That's crazy.
$300,000 for Kaley Cuoco for The Big Bang Theory.
She deserves it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'd give her more. If she was nude in it. Modern Family cast is on average getting about $175,000 each. That doesn't seem right.
Didn't they recently try to hold out for more money?
Yeah. I think this is pre-renegotiation.
Oh, your list is?
Yeah. I think they're all getting like $300,000 or something now. On Late Night, David Letterman's making $28 million and Jay Leno's making $25 million a year. Now think, those guys work harder than people who do series, because series you do, 20 episodes, 22 episodes, and then you're off for the rest of the year.
And you don't write them.
Yeah. These guys are every night, live show, 5 days a week, most, 50 weeks out of the year, 48? I don't know how much time they get off, but that's a lot of work. Judy Shindlin, Judge Judy.
Oh, yeah.
Daytime syndication. $45 million a year. To
what?
Do her show.
She must tape 5 in a row in one day, right?
I bet she's done with her work in a month. I bet she does all the shows she's going to do in the course
she
of a month. Maybe two.
Does she own it or
she
something?
She has a piece of the syndication.
Oh
yeah, that's
my
why
God.
She
that's
makes
baloney.
Sense.
God.
It doesn't make sense.
She has a judge's robe made of unicorn hair.
She does, right. Yes. Now, for example, Mario Batali.
Not interested, sir.
Over there on The Chew, he's only making $6,000 an episode.
Yeah, but he's on the Chew.
Come on, it's The Chew.
Is that real, The Chew?
The Chew is
it
real.
Is. What
Sherry Shepherd on The View is making $1.5 million per year, but Mario is only making $6,000 per episode. That's not right. He's on The Chew, a very important show.
That sounds like a bad porn title.
They're back to back. It's The View on ABC with the girls talking. Then The Chew.
That's so cute.
The Chew is all about guys, chefs, and cooking. Oh. And then there's a sex advice show called The Goo, which is on right after that. Yeah,
no, I don't think that's on daytime TV.
I'm pretty sure it is.
You might want to double check.
You might want to double check. That's what I'm
saying. Beer Mug, you got a new show debuting soon, don't you?
he was out of the room when you made that joke. Luckily for all our friends who speak Hebrew.
Ha, ha, ha.
$21.5 million going to Matt Lauer on the Today Show a year. $21.5 million.
He is that show, right?
He is that show.
That's a grueling schedule, I imagine.
That is brutal, yeah. Bill O'Reilly is making $15 million for the O'Reilly Factor a year.
Wow. Wow.
Anderson Cooper makes $11 million a year.
That's a lot of Astroglide.
And Robin Mead, the girl in the mornings on the Headline News Network?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only $750,000 a year.
What?
And she's hot.
She's hot.
Yeah.
She should get more money.
Hot bonus.
She's way hotter than Cooper.
I don't know. He's pretty sexy.
Silver-haired fox.
He is. He's pretty sexy. Congratulations to Kristen Cavallari and Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler. They had their baby last Wednesday. All is well. Mom and the baby are doing great. It's a little boy, and his name is Camden. C-A-M-D-E-N. Camden Jack Cutler.
Camden?
Camden Cutler. C-C.
Camden Cutler. I guess they'll call him Cam for short. They said Jay was given the baby in the delivery room. He tried to pass it to Kristen, but it was intercepted at the last minute, sadly. So.
And spiked.
I don't think it was spiked.
Brad,
the doctor
ever...
did pick it off, though, and ran it back for seven. So.
Have you ever been a football, Brad?
Have I ever been a football?
What's wrong with you? That's just rude.
What if your name was Asshore?
It's a good question.
That's one of those questions the world may never know the answer to. Today's celebrity birthday is Roseanne Arquette. She's 53. Antonio Banderas. Is that Roseanne Arquette story true, or is it just apocryphal that she was the motivation for the song by Toto, Rosanna?
Oh, I don't know.
I believe it's true. I believe that is true.
Is that true?
Yes.
She's 53 years old. Antonio Banderas is 52. Michael Bivins of Belle Biv DeVoe and New Edition is 44 years old. Angie Harmon from Spaghetti and Miles. What did we realize?
Rizzoli and Isles.
Rizzoli and Isles.
I think.
That's a bad name for a show. She is 40 years old. And Ryan Eggold of 90210 is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a good weekend, everybody. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brad wanted to stick around and sing the song.
Yeah. Oh, who doesn't?
Never done it before. Let's do this.
Don't screw it up, little man.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This cannot end well.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin gives everybody herpes.
Good.
What?
Roll another one.
That would explain a lot.
Testicles you are.
Just like the other one.
I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent
it. Seems to be about quit.
I don't even know what that means.
I need another hit.
Let me ask you, for a guy like me, in high school, I was like a fat, short, little nerdy guy.
Uh-huh.
So what would your character do to my self if I was in that show in
Kill
high school?
It. Teach roll, you how to ask a question.
Roll another one.
I've never known such blackness.
Just like the other one.
Well, guess what?
It's hammer time.
This one seems to be about to spend.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have another sin.
Son, never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
That's true.
Lisa's irrelevant.
Just pass it around.
My God, so that's a toss-up.
That's real talk right there, man.
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
I am over it, okay?
I'm over it.
And now, I don't want to be here anymore.
Now get out, the bar is closed.
It's good. You know what? Better than good.
good enough.
It's nice effort.
You're great.
It's good.
Keep plugging away.
Come on, you guys. Let's get out of here. Yeah. Not you, Kevin.